We are Brightside, home of the
it's never boring, is it?
There's always something just going to test your patience and your intestinal fortitude.
Yep. There you go. And let's roll that right in. Roll that right in. Test your patience. Test your fortitude. John, so back look, for number two, round two.
So ding, 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 ding. I asked you if we're going to kind of treat this like one and not even let the audience know that... That this is round two of the same podcast. Has that ever happened before? Am I the first? Do I get to be the first?
No. We did have on HT tours. We had to redo one.
Okay.
The entire tour. It's still not out. It's the latest one that I did with Mark. And I've had a hell of a time, obviously, with my schedule trying to get these things edited. I have three HT tours sitting waiting to go.
Wow.
And I'm almost done with Mark's. I just have to have the time to sit down and finish it. But we did his twice because Ara's audio just went kaputs like in the middle of it. So we did that.
Well, I can't wait to see how you stream these or stitch these two together.
What I was thinking is
prowess.
Yeah. That's what's kind of fun is you were great. You sent me this like very gracious message and I'm like, this is fun. This is what we do. Our theaters aren't perfect. You know, it's tech. Crap goes wrong. This is what happens. And you just, and like we said a few minutes, you got to roll with it and just have fun with it. And I used to stress out about this stuff. Ask John. We've been doing this a long time and not a long time, like 4 or 5 years now. And early on, I was so like, when you don't have a reputation, when nobody knows who you are and everything goes wrong, they just think you're a bunch of screw ups and, you know, but, you know, I love you guys and you guys are, I know, you know, we're trying our best here so we can, you know, we're fine. We're fine.
I was so stressed though. I mean, I know you kind of know me, but I don't know if you know, like
I know.
I knew it had to have been on my end. It had to have been my fault. Like, and I'm like, why? Like I have this laptop, it's working, but it's not working.
That's what you kept saying. I think it was,
don't use Chromebook.
Yeah.
Don't use Chromebook. It's not a real laptop.
Right.
And I don't think it could handle StreamYard and a camera that's hooked up to it and my Shure microphone. Everything was hooked up to it. And it said,
right,
after an hour, it was like, nope, I'm not going to do it. So I was just like,
yeah,
I can't believe this. You know, I feel like I have this friend and he invites me to his house. And he's generous and he's unassuming and he's hospitable. And I just like walk in with muddy shoes and I eat all his food and I don't flush the toilet. And I'm like, I kick his dog and then I leave.
Yeah.
And then he invites me. He's crazy enough. He invites me over again. He's like, come back in a few days. That's how I feel right now. So I don't have my Chromebook. I have I have a high-powered laptop, and I think
you're sitting in the same seat, correct?
I am.
It's a beautiful seat. Ever since the last time we recorded, and the listeners will hear. So what my plan is this is the open, all right? And then we're gonna go because you've actually listened to the podcast back.
I did I didn't want to repeat anything tonight.
Right. So. We'll let the listener, we're going to go right from this, let the listeners hear that. And it's not completely awful. You heard it. And, but it's, you know, it's got some dropouts and stuff we'll come back and we'll, you know, you've got your notes and stuff from what you heard on that podcast and we'll wrap things up and we'll finish maybe some, cause I know that what was funny is there were dropouts that weren't really dropouts. Like I couldn't hear you. So I was trying to answer questions, but I didn't hear the whole thing sometimes. So some of that came through, so I'll clean it up a little bit for everybody, but
well, be patient with some of those pops and clicks, listeners, because I didn't know they were happening on my end. So it should be cleaner for the rest of this podcast.
You didn't want me to record all that beforehand?
So I need a, can I take a nap at the beginning of this, like right now? Just a quick little snooze, refreshed, and yeah, whew, that was rough.
No stress. No stress.
Well, since I'm in my my fancy theater now with like that I don't even I've made this into like a Wally room, you know, like the movie. So
yeah.
Let me just I don't have to move anymore. Well, I have to move my fingers. I'm going to adjust the air conditioning.
There you go.
Yeah. So everything's automated in there.
Yeah. I have the now. Jeez. I have to do that here. When I'm sitting here, because my AC unit or the entire HVAC system is right about 10 inches away from the back of the screen I'm looking at.
So
it gets really loud when it kicks on, and I have it connected to my, you know, I have the app, so I have to shut it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody will just hear it go in the background.
Mine's on right now, so I don't think you can hear it, but.
No,
I got the mic, so it's
that's good. Nice. Internally. So, I don't know. Let's. Where do we want to start off? I'll tell you my idea. You can go wherever you want. It's Takeover Tuesday. You've been here before. You know the drill. You've listened to them. My idea.
Taking over.
I know.
Just
it's
kidding.
And you should.
She whiz.
Let's talk about the full experience, the ending. I should say, of the wrap up of your theater, and then we'll get into what you've been doing since then, because you've had it running for a couple of months now, right?
Yeah. So we did the actual calibration in December. So technically, like,
oh, wow.
Like really, like maybe Christmas Eve or like the 22nd. So yeah, it's been up and running, almost fully functional since then, fully operational.
We've seen videos of it. The day you had, I mean, it was, we got a sneak peek, you know, green room members got the sneak peek of what's going on. But Dream Media just put out their video.
They've done like 3 YouTube videos, kind of just the different stages all the way back till since pre-demo. And then I came on here. And I told the whole story with the fire. That was a drama.
Yeah.
I explained it way. It was like the way long version.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was. The fire was fun.
No, the explanation. No, not
yeah.
The show, not the event.
No, that was fun. And then I think what I did, didn't I do, was it a Thanksgiving? Yeah, Thanksgiving. I did a Thanksgiving podcast with.
Yes. You were on with us. Yep.
Right.
On our Thanksgiving show. You were the lucky winner. Right.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm glad whoever died didn't, you know, or
no,
whatever it was. I'm glad I was able to get on.
No. It was you and Andrew got to come on because HT guys couldn't make it.
Right, that was it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So for any new listeners or people that, you know, that was close to a 3-hour podcast, but yeah, so a lot of things happened there that we don't need to rehash, because if someone really wants to understand the whole story, they can go back and find that.
Yes.
But
I encourage people to do that because people see your theater, right? And it's extravagant. It's awesome. I mean,
I acknowledge that. I agree.
Yes. But there was a lot of time that went into that and a lot of
planning and thinking and designing and
And with that, just like anything else, right? Like even when you're in your theater, right? When you start in home theater, you have X amount of budget and then you get your stuff and hopefully someday you can upgrade. But if you had a plan for so long, and then like you said in that podcast, you're like, the budget grows. Cause like, oh, wait, look, I have more savings. So that allows you to do that. But it's still, I mean, it's just, I just, anybody seeing your theater, I am very defensive of people that would be like, yeah, he's rich or he has the, or whatever, and be like, there's a lot. That was painstaking and it was long time coming.
Human nature, this, I think.
I know, but it's still not fair. And even if you were rich, it doesn't matter. But when you do know the story behind what it took you to get there,
right?
I mean, it just makes it
that's understanding enough to allow it to happen. And, you know, all the things had to align. But I would love to meet the person that knows they want a dedicated theater and sticks to the exact script, if you want to call it that, doesn't deviate, doesn't go over budget, and unless you're just this massive plan. Maybe if you've been planning it for 5 years, but you can't. How can you plan a theater? How can you plan a tech, something that involves technology over 5 years? You're not going to want what you started 5 years ago. So,
no.
So how can you plan it out?
You'll save a lot of money. Yeah. 5 years later, you'll be buying some cheap stuff because it's 5 years old.
Right. Yeah. I mean, good on you. That's like, if my wife or myself, if I send myself to the grocery store, man, I hit that one thing I came there for, those three things, and I'm gone. Like there's like, I'm in and out. Try to do that with building a home theater or even a gaming computer. There's always stuff
anything you're gonna a house
and change. And, right. So, yeah. Budget exceeded. Proceed with caution. And no one could. Anyone that comes in here now and experiences the theater a little bit, and then I say, but you know, I'm thinking about doing this one thing. They almost want to slap me. Like, how dare you?
Right.
How dare you want to, like, what you just do, like, and it doesn't need to be changed. I think it's just like, what if I did this different center speaker, or what if I put, just because I want to know,
right.
You know, but having said all that, I'm very pleased with it and don't feel compelled to do any types of upgrades, anytime soon. I don't feel it's lacking, just curiosity.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the hobby, though?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, the first curiosity, the room you're sitting in, is, can I do it? Right?
Sure.
Now you've done it. You know, the end game part where you have that theater. You have the, I mean, I'm still like, I built this one, which I thought, and I've said before, that what I have now, I thought 20 years ago was the ultimate. That's what it was. And then when I upgraded, I thought that was the ultimate. So you're always thinking you're getting to, and can I do it? Can I improve this to the point that I want to get there? And now I'm at like, all right, can I build what I have in my head? And like what you've been through and succeeded, I'm sure you've surpassed what you had in your head because of the time it took.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not over. It's not like you're done being a home theater fan and you're like, done that. Play tennis next time.
like let's go join the Olympics.
Right.
It's a fun journey, and you know, there's always evolving things, so I'm always looking for that next thing. And you know, one of these days streaming will be as good as Kaleidoscape and there'll be some other box or something I'll need, but it pretty much has everything I could want. Although the next thing I will probably do and figure out now that I'm kind of hooking up with some local FW Texas, other home theater guy in the area, is he's installing, because he's just building theater. He's installing the near field bass speakers. Like they go right behind your chair. So you have the near field. So you have the regular subs, the near field subs. So it's doing kind of the same effect as, say, the tactile transducer butt kickers, kind of, but they're more just close speakers. I think it's supposed to be like for every, if it's a 12 inch driver, it should be within 12 inches of the seat. If it's
an 18
inch driver, 18 inches, I think. I mean, I think that's kind of the math.
Yeah.
So I do have a little bit of room behind my four seats that might be fun. And I've experienced some transducers, the tactile butt kicker transducers. They're okay, But it just feels like, I mean, it's stronger than, say, a cell phone buzzing in your back pocket. But it is just, it's a buzz, or it's, you know, I mean, that's what it does. It provides this buzz that helps vibrate. But the near field, it's a different feeling. It feels more like, you know, the bass.
Real bass. Yeah.
At just the different levels of frequency, different intensities that I've yet to experience with a butt kicker that's attached to a seat. So if and when I do the next upgrade, I kind of feel that might. But I love what I have, because people have sat down here and go, what is attached to the seat? Because I'm on a second level. So I got hollow/plywood floors. Plus I have a riser where my couch is sitting right behind me. That's not hollow. That's filled with insulation, but still it's, you know, it's a riser. It's not concrete. So I get, just out of these four 18-inch subs, I get some great, like vibration, if you want to call it that. I don't know if resonance is the right word, or vibration.
Yeah.
Without the near field or the butt kickers, and people are wondering what I have attached to the seat. And I go, nope, that's just the sub. So I'm lucky I have that anyway, and that I am on a second level to provide that without having to work really hard at it. So that is fun, but that's kind of the next thing I'm thinking of down the road.
Yeah, I talked with when I was talking with I think it was Mike Schramm and Johnny Speakers, I was saying the same thing. With my next one, I'm thinking of putting in the SVS in walls behind my main listening row, because there will be a small half wall there, so I could actually put them right in there, and they would serve as that near field, because they would, you know, it would.
This is for the house you're building.
Yes. So, and
you have your front row, and then you're going to have like a,
I'm on the second row
with like a counter. Oh, okay.
No. My front row isn't my prime listening. I like my front row. I like my prime listening to be the second row. And because I like the idea of a row in front of me, like when you go to the movies, right?
Yeah. Right. Down
so
in front.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants, when you get movie tickets, you don't want to go to the front row. You want to sit in the middle. So that was my design here. That's going to be my design there. I've messed around with maybe going to the front, but that also
in that half wall.
Yep. Because it'll be
field or something right behind.
I can put something in there. I could actually design the wall to be thicker if I needed, but if I have an in wall, like what the SVSs are, it's perfect. Right. That also allows me to be on a riser, which is what I have now. In a basement, it still gives me that resonance through the floor where the bass is vibrating. That's nice, right? I have that now. So I'm getting the full tactile feel of my bass in my theater now. And I'm afraid going to a bigger room where it'll be four subs, but is it possible that because my room's smaller and I do have a sub behind me, probably like a foot and a half, 2 feet behind me, is that potentially giving me near field now that I will lose when I go there? And that would be disappointing when you don't know until you build it, right? And it's like, once it's built, then you're like, okay, now is this going to be as good as what I experienced here?
Yeah.
You hope for better, but at least at the very least, you want the same. You don't want to go backwards after all that work.
That room's going to dictate it. You know, it's in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously room treatments and all that, but it's in charge. You still have to, you have to play by its rules and adjust accordingly. Cause you don't know until you build it exactly how it's going to sound, unless you're some genius mathematical acoustician.
And I'll probably of course, I'll mess with ideas at the beginning. And like, as I'm building, I'll put stuff in and see what happens, see how things sound. And that's part of the fun too. I'm not expecting turnkey perfection, right? Like, I'm going to get in there and it's going to be like, all right, what do I got to tweak? And just like you in your room now, you know, you've practically, I wouldn't say it's turnkey perfection, but
no.
when it was done, you're like, all right, here we go. But even when you get that, like you said, you're like, tweak. Yeah, you're like, I gotta mess this is
stuff up.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm getting really good at what's the word, diagnosing the problems and figuring out, because that's what I was nervous about. Like, if I, you know, if I was like you and I built everything myself, you know, plugged everything in myself, finding the problems is easier. And I was like, well, I had this.
Yeah, it's me.
Right. And I kind of, so I watched him do it, and I can figure things out, but I was nervous. Like, am I going to be able to diagnose anything? Am I going to troubleshoot? Cause things are going to go wrong because these are all computers. And so far I have figured things out cause things go wrong, or, you know, an amp doesn't fire up, or for some reason a wire vibrated loose. So I have been able so far, with some 911 calls to the installer every once in a while, I have been able to figure things out. And then once it happens, you kind of learn, you know, like your old car, you know, you know what its glitches are. So you know the first top five things to look for. And so I know those top 10 things to look for of if something's not working right. In the beginning, though, it was like tears, you know, because I was demoing it for people. It wasn't just me. I'm like, okay. But, you know, if there's 3 or 5 or 10 people in the room and something goes wrong, and you don't, like, think about if you went to a different home theater, not yours, because you could, you know, that like the back of your hand, but someone else's. But you're expected to take care of that theater. And now you're in a strange theater and something goes wrong. You're like, I don't know. And I was so stressed. Like, I was sweating, I was apologizing, I'm like, I'll be right back, because all my tech, it's down below, it's in the garage closet below.
Yeah.
So it's me running up and down the stairs, so that was sweat, and like, I'll be back. Did anything happen up there? Okay, you know, getting on the phone with the people upstairs, I'm sorry. So
right
now, yes, now I am pretty adept at most of the things that could potentially go wrong. So,
yeah. And it's, we've all been there. And it's what's fun to hear is, like, I mean, you had it installed, you had all this done, but you still are, you know, you're a DIY guy. You still like to do this stuff. Okay. So just having that, it's like Steve George is the same way. It's like, you have the knowledge to do it. It's been on a couple times. He won't stop bothering me.
That guy.
You know, you ever heard the term, you know, like
the pond,
you know, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Yeah, that's Steve.
Good idea. Well, we can't all be in magazines like Steve. Have you gone to Barnes & Noble and looked for?
No. He sent me a PDF of it too.
Oh, sweet.
I haven't had a chance to get to Barnes & Noble yet, but yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I think it's actually closing. I need to go look and see if it's there, because that would just be a fun thing to have for sure.
Where are you, in Houston?
I'm up in DFW, so Dallas, Fort Worth.
Oh, Dallas, Fort Worth. That's 4
hours from Houston. Yeah, if I was at Houston, I'd already have dropped by John's house.
That's what I know. That's you guys could have. I mean, you're 4 hours apart.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's
no. Trip. When I was out there, I told him, like, because I'm up here in Mass, right? And it's like, we like, oh yeah. When I look on the map, if it's in my state, I'm like, let's go. Right. Yeah. I mean, the furthest place away is like an hour and a half, the furthest border. Sure. Right. Or maybe 2 hours to the far corners of like New York and, you know, Vermont corner. That might be 2 hours away. Right.
Second biggest state, a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, you know, I've always wanted to see the Alamo. And I'm like, it's right there in San Antonio. And he's like, yeah, that's 3.5 hours away. I go, that's only halfway across the state. What the hell did you do?
Yeah.
It's just a mental thing, you know, like, I mean, everything's so much bigger out there.
For sure.
It's, you know, yeah. But yeah, but it's 4 hours.
Like,
yeah,
we could make that happen. I mean,
well, next time I come down to see John, we're gonna make it happen. I mean, there's no way I'm not.
If you don't,
I know.
You have to lie to me and tell me you didn't come because I'm gonna be really sad.
Here's the best part. Hey, John,
you have already been.
No. Hey, okay. John, I'm at John Brock's. Come on up.
Oh, yeah. I'll
just fly to Dallas and tell him to come get me.
Yeah. I got dropped off at the wrong airport. Not my fault, but.
But. For you. We're going to watch a couple movies in the time it takes you to get here.
Right. Yeah. Past the time. My theater actually has a, well, if you want to call it built in, but it has a, my couch behind the theater chairs has a queen, what do you call it? Like a rollout, like a hide a sofa.
Oh, nice.
Hide a bed.
Yeah.
In it. That has like a really comfortable, like modern, mattress in it. Not the kind that gets a metal barn.
The roll up. Oh my God. Yeah. I hate those.
Yeah. I know. So it will roll out to a queen size bed. So because it has a, we have a full bath in here and we're going to be putting in a mini kitchenette eventually. That's like phase four. So someone could come in here.
The MCU?
Yeah.
Phase four.
Rockstar phase four coming up. Kitchenette.
Kitchenette. Yeah. Yeah. It's not as exciting as the first three phases, just like the MCU.
Right. Exactly. How about that?
The MCU's phase four. It's called the kitchenette. Yep.
Not even a real one.
Whoops.
But someone could stay here potentially for a longer visit. Like if, you know, we have a family over, the husband and wife could stay up here and this could be like a mini, apartment for them if they were here for a couple weeks. And while the kids could be in our main house with, you know, the like a guest room or something. So we just, if we're going to get a big custom made couch anywhere, we're like, let's just put a bed in it. Just, you know,
right.
Because it's another room with a full bath. Let's make it.
It's easy. Better to have it and never need it, especially if you're built, you know, and then be like, and not have it. Be like, oh, it'd be so much. This would be easier right now if we had a couch here or a bed here.
A bed.
You know, and you never know. You know,
again, when you have a year or two to plan that out, it's just things you think about. So that was one of the things we wanted to do. So we have it.
Yeah.
Haven't used it yet. But it's
only been like a few months.
It'll eventually get used.
Yeah.
Every time I've offered it, then I'm like, well, shoot, then I won't. That means they're sleeping in here, and that means it means I can't get in my chair. So while I've kind of offered it, I can tell it's only a half offer.
Yeah.
Then it turns into their bedroom and not my theater.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. All of a sudden, you'd be like, this didn't work out the way I wanted.
Yeah.
How are those seats? I'm looking at them there.
They're really nice. They're the they're the Valencia Tuscany Ultimate Luxury seats. So a little bit different than the regular line. They have a soft grain leather. It's like really nice, soft, dull, like matte finish, right? So it's not shiny. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, more dull, but very, very soft, very wide. A few more features, like different color. The chair has different colors you can turn on and off. Not that we ever really use that, right? But just for the off factor or effect, it is nice to have the different features on that. The control on the side of the chair doesn't have a backlight to it. So that's good for when you're, you know, watching movies. There's nothing to distract you, and it has a memory function. So they do have a few upgrades in that. And of course, not lots of nice storage inside, and it has like a velour interior inside the armrest for like laptops or, you know, all the controls, but it's has a soft behind that. So they're great. Of course it has the headrest that has a motorized headrest.
Yeah.
So pretty much everything that has lumbar. So they're really nice and they just look primo. They look luxurious just because of that, you know, that soft matte finish leather with the double stitching on the the diamond double stitching on them. So yeah, I'm really thankful. I looked into this and then found this one, and then I cussed. Actually, what we did is we found the color. It was like a midnight blue. I'm like, I really like that color. So they sent a swatch. Valencia sent me a swatch of that color, and we based the whole room on it because my wife was like, okay, we can't choose the paint. We can't choose the couch. We can't choose it. Everything has to go off of something. So if that's the first color that we're being married to, everything has to coordinate off of that. So we took that swatch to everything else in the entire room.
Right.
Because we didn't have the chairs yet. So we could kind of buy everything and know what color is going to work with that. So yeah, the columns and the walls and the couch and everything was based off of that. So this kind of is what started. It was the midnight blue of the seats. Love them.
That's actually a pretty smart way to do it too, in hindsight, because
that's my wife.
Well, it's that one of the hardest things to do is get the colors for your furniture, right? If you design your room and then try to find the furniture to match, it's a lot harder. Right. But if you find the furniture first, or at least the color of it, and then it's easier to get the paint mixed. Right. Yeah. You can just, I want this. I need this dark. You can tint stuff differently, a lot easier than you can change your furniture color. Well,
right. And I would say everything was based off, even we knew we were going to do the Tuscany Ultimates. So, you know, right on their website, you know, you have all the dimensions. So I knew I started with four seats wide, and then I based my riser height. My riser's right behind these chairs. So even the dimensions of the custom couch, the dimensions of the riser, the width of the riser behind me, everything was off of this. So, it's in a lot of ways, the seats, the theater seats, kind of dictated what the room was going to look.
Yeah.
And it looked like dimension wise and color palette. So yeah, it's cool.
Now, did you have those like custom made and delivered, or was it just like, is there a place local? Did you sit in them beforehand?
There was a little bit of anxiety on that. There's like a home theater store to go to. Well, I digress. There is, and their seats are, well, okay, very, very expensive, and I didn't like them. I didn't like the look. They were either too modern or too much like Easy Boy. Most of them didn't have motorized headrests, which have one, you know why you want them. If you don't have a motorized headrest, you're like, I don't need it, until you get right. It and you realize how amazing they are. So yeah, they just didn't have a lot of the features that I wanted. So I kind of just like, I looked around like we all do, because there's hardly anywhere to go that they might have one brand at a furniture store, but not like all the different types available. So, right. But then I just started researching like what people are really saying about the Valencia line, and looking at YouTube videos and getting some honest feedback as much as possible, as long as they weren't a paid sponsor of Valencia, and just get some honest feedback. And everyone had them, mostly seemed to like them. And then this Ultimate Luxury came out, maybe about the time I was looking. It hasn't been out that long. And then I went to the first edition premiere presentation, that M Wave, which is coming up. They're doing a second one in a couple months. So that's the Midwest AV Experience, and that's in Kansas City. And the host of that is Youthman, Michael Stevens, and his partner, Ryan. So I went to that, and that was the first time they had hosted one of those. And we did some home theater tours, and they had a Valencia rep there, but they were raffling off a Tuscany Ultimate Luxury chair. So even though I had I think at that point I might have had my order in, but I could have canceled it at that point. I was able to sit in it and go, oh yeah, I really, right. really like this. I like the look. It says this is a home, this is a theater chair, home theater chair. So I really liked that. So I did get a chance to sit in it. It kind of calmed my nerves. I go, oh yeah, this is what I want. I know my wife's going to like it because it's not some shiny leather. It's just a, almost like a luxury car leather, you know, like a, just a soft butter smooth leather. And then just sitting in, I'm like, yeah, I really like that. I like that as the memory functions and all that. So I did end up getting to sit in it beforehand to calm me down a little bit because it's like buying a mattress online, like a bed. My dad did that once. He bought a bed online for the guest room. And guess what? I had to go sleep in that guest room. This is after we were already married. I'm like, oh, so you bought this online? Okay. Good night, Dad. And then we went and slept. It was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
You bought a bed online. Why would you do that? So same thing. Like you don't buy couches and chairs online, but.
I think the point is still valid, like what you were saying about picking seats and picking mattresses and stuff. It's like, it's a personal thing, right? So that's all I was saying when she got me a pillow for Christmas. It's like, what? Like, that's a personal thing. I would never get that for her because I would expect her to want the pillow, you know?
You got to test drive those things.
Yeah. It's like, don't get me underwear either. No.
let me be in charge of something that's touching my body for multiple hours.
Exactly. I'm actually looking forward to the theater chair purchase. I am looking, and so is my wife.
What are you open to? Do you know? I mean, are you looking at all of them, or have you narrowed that down at all?
No, I haven't narrowed anything down. Okay. What I would like is I'm looking for something that is customizable to the point that, like, I want to get my row. I'll get all similar to what you have, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I would like for my row. Okay, but then I want the front row to look like it, but it doesn't need all the other fancy features. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, even if it's a man
and the kids,
yeah, most people aren't going to be sitting there. I don't need power reclining. If it came with it's fine, but I don't need all the lights. I don't need all that. Even the lights, I'm not a fan of the lights themselves underneath, but
I never turn them on. I mean,
right. But if they're in the second row, it's not as detrimental because the front row will be hiding them from the from any screen or anything like that. But you can turn them on and off. And, you know, most importantly, whatever I get, it better be able to turn it off. So that's a feature.
Here's a question that I probably would not have changed what I did, but I'll ask you, because I know you've thought of it. Do you want high back chairs? Something low back, because if you're a massive audiophiles don't like high back. They want to be able to be surrounded. Well, I mean, real audiophiles only deal with 2.1 two speakers, but okay, mid-level audiophiles that want to have surround sound, they have back, so there's nothing between their ears and the back speakers. There was the surround speakers. So what do you want to do that way?
That I would prefer a lower seat, not completely low. And I know, like, the ones you're sitting in right now are higher.
They are.
But
I will sit up. I will choose not to recline and maybe even lean forward a little bit, but still be comfortable if I'm really trying to get, maybe I'm demoing something or I know this is an amazing scene. And if I'm just relaxing, I don't care as much because I can still hear it. So Valencia has a new luxury ultimate edition of, maybe you can look it up while I talk. They just came out with a luxury edition, just like the Tuscany has been around for a while, but the ultimate luxury just came out. There's a new ultimate luxury. It's a low back. It almost looks, well, because low back kind of has that modern squarish look, but then it still has a motorized headrest to come all the way up. And I'm like, ooh, that would be good. And I don't think it's the Oslo. If you tell me, I'll know what it is. And I don't know if you want to hunt and peck right now and look, but it's a Valencia model that if I hear it, I'll say, yeah, that's it. I can't remember what it is, but
let's see. Valencia, look at all the different slimline. I'm looking because that is something. Yeah, I would be interested in.
And because they have a ultimate luxury, which means they have, it has that softer leather, less reflective, and it's quieter too, which again, I didn't think about, but a lot of the seats when they recline, not a big deal, but you know, it's, they're kind of rubbery and like,
right.
It's the leather rubbing. This doesn't have that. It's smooth and quiet because it's that soft. Anyway, it's their newest addition to the ultimate luxury line. But it's a model I think that they've had for a while.
They have the Barcelona Grand Ultimate Luxury Edition.
That's it. I think that's
really low.
Barcelona. Okay, so it's low, but it'll pop up. It'll pop up for your head. But I don't. Well, but you still look into it because I don't know. I know it's almost for somebody that's not very tall, and you want something that can seat all different sizes of people. So I dimensions wise, when it lays down, I don't know how comfortable it is, but I just saw
there you go. Low back. Can you see that?
Yeah. But it does pop up, right? I think it has a motorized, the headrest pops up somewhere.
I'm looking through the pictures. I think it might, cause that, yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah. 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 So it unfolds, but yep. It tempted me because I'm like, dang, man, because sometimes, you know, you want that, you don't want any audio to be blocked
right
by your head, and that was something I, for whatever reason, I just didn't really think of it. Having said that, I think I still would have chosen the Tuscanys.
Yeah,
because they're just massively comfortable.
Right, and here's the other thing with, like, say for your seats in particular, looking at, you know, just looking at the ones that you're sitting in, there's enough clearance. Like, you mount your rear channels a little higher. And it to give your set, because I'm building the room, so I'm going to mount those speakers so that they have direct line of sight to my ears. My side channels will have direct line sight to my ears clearly. And it's, I'm getting older. I'm going to be in this thing for the next 20 years, and I want to be able to sit much like you're sitting right now, like very upright, and have that headrest right up against my head, and just being able to almost like you're reclining, but you're sitting upright, and you're just, because that's how I watch my movies now. I sit completely upright. When I bought the theater chairs I have now, I chose ones that would only come to my shoulders, just like around my neck, because I wanted to have, like you said, you'd think of this. I was thinking of line of sight to my ears. So I'm willing to compromise a little bit. If I have, you know, if I see a chair that I like, that's a little taller, I'll just raise those, because it's really only the rear channels you're worried about. Right. And that's it. The side channels will come in on the side. Right.
Because of my riser, because I, my second row is behind me.
Right.
My rear surrounds are up a little bit. So it still worked out for me. And then I have a third row, and I think you might have seen some pictures. You saw my
videos,
right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You almost wish you hadn't. Oh, because it's in the video.
Oh, no. You sent me pictures before when it came in.
You a tweet.
And you, I did. Yeah, and you,
I should have kept that from you until just for
you told me all about it, about picking the toys and stuff that were going in it. Dude, it's awesome.
Because so much of my room, it doesn't have a lot of the trinkets and things. It's pretty clean, which I like. And
but
my
that's
wife
the
likes
best part.
Way better that way. But then there's still an homage. Like, if you have to, you know, if you have to bow to one theme, you know, we have a little, some Star Wars toys embedded into the table, and those just turned out great. They're just so, it's so fun. I mean, people come in and they just want to look at them and talk about them and stare at them. And then, you know, and if they're close to our age, they remember the Micro Machines. So so for those that haven't seen it, they're mostly the Micro Machines from the 80s that are in a clear resin inside of the table. And so they're dioramas. They're dioramas inside the table of a Hoth scene, the Pod Racer scene. And then there's a newer role-playing game. John probably knows all about it. He might even have it in his comic store. I don't know if he does any card games there, but it has Star Wars toys that go with that role playing game. And so, and they're little tiny X-Wings and Falcon and Slave One and all those. So I put that, and then there's a space scene. So space pod racing and the Hoth scene. And it turned out so fun and just adds a little spice to the room that aside from that is, just clean lines and not a lot of, you know, trinkets, which I love trinkets. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to decorate my whole stairwell coming up in those type of memorabilia and fun things like that, like you have in your theater. Because I don't have a lobby, I have a stairwell and then my theater.
Yeah.
I would love to have some sort of, you know, welcome lobby with
right.
rope, with a little rope and maybe an arcade.
Yeah.
So that would be fun, but how dare I? I am not complaining. It would just be fun. I like to entertain and I like to
right.
give my guests that because I've seen houses that had that. I haven't figured out a way to make that happen unless they walk through my garage and I sacrifice a garage space for the lobby. And there's right. no way. That's where my wife, I haven't even thought to suggest that because I will be dead. No way she's going for me taking up a garage space. So I will have my stairwell that'll have some fun knickknacks.
There you go. Yeah. And but that's what I like about, I love the stealth look, right? I love the idea of like, just like speakers behind, like they don't know where everything's coming from. I love that clean stealth look, but I love memorabilia as well. And you've achieved both inside of that room. And it's right. just such a fun way to do it. And even the design of
really hidden. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Your like the beams, the way you have those arcs and the lighting that you chose is still has that Star Wars flavor to that, but it's just, it's part of the architecture of the room, but it's right. still
it's
like,
it's an A-frames. So we had to work with that. So,
right.
You know, lean into that look because I can't change that. So, and then of course, you know, some of that was inspiration that I found online that other people that have, you know, an A-frame type structure, kind of like an attic. And mm-hmm. so I kind of went off that. And yeah, a lot of people think, you know, it's kind of like a spaceship corridor type look. So yeah. I do love that. Not that I was necessarily going for it, but it does look like that. So it,
right.
You know, it's awesome. A little technology to the room. So that's
a little.
Well, yeah. Now, with my speakers, I know you're going clean. You're going with the speaker cloth makes up the interior room.
Pretty much. Yeah. Front wall, back wall, pretty much speaker cloth. Yeah.
So I don't have the grills on. I like seeing the speakers. I do have them all mm-hmm. exposed and that, you know, but it's all, they're all, you know, black frames, but black face to them. I have the speaker grills off. So mine are exposed and I kind of like that look. You can see my Atmos speakers. But I like what you're going to do too, where it's going to be. All yep. behind grill, all behind.
I hope
speaker yeah. grill or cloth or acoustic transport.
Right. Cloth. The idea is that you just don't really. My full goal, if I can pull it off, and it really depends on, especially for the side speakers, it's going to depend on depth of room, you know, width of room, wall space I have. But ideally, I would like to just be like, you're just in a room, and then when it turns on, you have no idea where all the speakers are or how many there are or anything like that.
But that's also just practical because you can get to the speakers. Mm-hmm. You can get all the way behind the speakers. You need to pull something, change something, yeah. demo something, change them out.
Yeah.
There will be no are they going to be sitting on stands or embedded in a stud or
probably it won't be on stands, but the cabinets that I'm going to make and the way I'll design the side walls, it'll be at any time. If I want to add a row of speakers or something, I just create another cabinet. Right.
That's cool. Or demo then, speakers. Like if you do mm-hmm. like kind of what you're doing in your current room.
Yes.
Switching yes. out. That would be so easy. The accessibility.
Right.
To that is like awesome.
Yeah. And if I tried to do that in this room, but then over time that accessibility went away because expansion of stuff and changing of the front wall and everything. Like for instance, in the room I'm in now, all the border trim that goes around the top, like you could see in the, if you know, you see the room behind us here, you see all that dark trim around the top of the room. That's all removable. It's all just pull. It's screwed directly into the studs, but the wall above that is missing. So I can pull all that down and run any wires, you know, 360 around the room. Okay. I did that from day one so that I could run wires, do whatever I had to do to get up into, to add my Atmos speakers. It was fairly simple. I knew where I wanted to put them. I drilled a hole, I snake a line, boom, no problem. So very easy. And I'm trying this next one, I'm trying to design to be even easier for the future. So I don't have to do as much because, you know, when I'm 75 years old and I want to run a wire, I don't want to have to do some of the stuff I had to do here. So
what's that? What you don't know, new to the game, you don't have the foresight to know how much. Now I have the luxury of I hired a company, and two, I watch YouTube exists now, so you kind of have that knowledge just through trial and error since the 80s of just getting it and getting better and knowing what you need. So I ran a lot of extra Smurf tubing, which is just gigantic flexible conduit, and I did that. I did lots of it in my riser and on into my tech closet. And I go, I don't know if I'll ever use this, but I just want a bunch of tubes, empty tubes, because I don't know. Right. I have already filled up two of those tubes since being done with like Ethernet cable that I, because I wanted a computer in here that, you know, was hardwired, and just different things that I didn't know if I'd need it, but I wanted to do it. So that's a huge tip that I hope people if they are building is just as much conduit and big gigantic holes, tunnels that you create, because you don't know.
Right.
Like you either in the trim, you know, just whatever your setup is, don't drywall everything up without any accessibility from your tech closet to your room.
Right.
Leave space.
Yeah. I mean, the entire hobbies about upgrades and changes and adapting. So it's like, it's just best to, you know, be able to future-proof that as much as possible. And, I'm trying to, and again, I'm balancing the different, you know, how the width of the interior of my theater space versus, like what I can do with the room within a room idea. And ideally, and
you're going,
I would
7.46, 7.44.
I'm going to go 9.4, 9.46.
Oh, you're doing the
front wides.
You're doing the front wides. Okay.
I would like to. I don't know if I'll have them day one, but I do want to end up at the front wides because I like
the interior room,
the length of the room that you'll be in, it will look like it's probably 18 feet long, but in reality, the room, the actual, you know, sealed part would be, 22.
Okay.
So that puts me that at 18 feet, I'm hoping at 18 feet long, I'm shooting for 14 feet wide and 130 inch screen and putting me about 12 to 13 feet away from the screen, which get my head, that is. And then I'll have a bar area behind me. Nice. And that's it. You know, it's really just, it's basically the room I have now just expanded a little longer and a little wider, you know, and a lot more treatments.
Right. Yeah. Acoustical treatments are not talked about enough. They're almost like, I want to do all these things and I want to buy this amp and I want to buy this processor and I buy this, this, and this.
Right.
All great and sexy as heck.
Yeah.
And then maybe next year I'll do acoustic treatments.
Yeah.
And I just, it kills me. I'm like, dude, you have to budget that from the beginning, because are you going to use any type of room correction? Your ears are room.
It's actually easier if you do it. Fuck. If you're building a room, right? If you have the opportunity, say you have a bare space in your basement and you're going to build a room, don't build the room and then put treatments on it. Design the treatments into the room. Make the treatment like what I've done. I didn't do that at the beginning, but I have done it since then. Like, I took down the entire back wall and put up the new wall, which is, it's basically the wall in reverse. And you just put speaker cloth. That's a wall of room treatments. Whereas if you put,
go ahead.
Whereas if you put your drywall up and then put treatments on the drywall, you're going to get reflections and you can't go as deep. Then you're going to try to go, I want deeper room treatments, but then that's taken away from the room. But if you say you ran just 6-inch studs at the front and the rear and you filled that with room treatments, but the drywall's on the other side of it, and then you speaker cloth that, perfect. You have 6 inches of insulation. You have 6 inches of absorption there. Whether and it's the entire wall.
The pink stuff or the Owens Corning 702. Does that sound like the right number?
Yes. I had somebody asking me about it recently.
The rigid fiberglass absorption. And there's different brands. I mean, that's a specific brand, but the 702 Owens Corning. Yeah. Yeah. If you're doing that ahead of the time and you have a room that you're building, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that.
And
don't drywall it up.
No. And if you do it, if you listen to this and you want to do something like that, make sure that when you do your insulation, that the paper side, if you use the pink stuff, goes to the outside. Don't have that face in the room, because now you've just reflected the sound right off the paper. But you just have that that fluffy stuff facing you and cover it. It's so easy to cover with speaker cloth, and you just buy a big sheets of speaker cloth and you put it up, and you could still hang stuff on the studs and everything. So,
and now, I mean, room treatments can be fun. They're your movie posters if you want that type of look. The sky's the limit. I mean, even big black rectangles look fun, because it looks, I don't know, like you know what you're doing. It look, you know, there's these tech patties on the wall. So, I mean, like, you know, just don't not have room treatment.
That's what I did. One of the first things I put up when I built mine was those. I have the 2-inch thick, and it's recycled denim, but they sold in a 2-foot by 4-foot sheets, 2 inches thick. I cut them in half and turned them into diamonds and made that little, it looks like the B-1 bomber coming at me. I have the same triangle on my ceiling and on the sidewalls, first reflection points right there. And those have been there since, I'm not sure they were in like day one, but if they weren't, it was within the first month of my theater. And it's like, that's
like, how are you going to, you're not going to be pleased with your room. You're going to wonder why your center speaker doesn't sound good, why it sounded good when you demoed it somewhere. And you just have too many bouncy stuff. Your ceiling is important. It's not like overkill. Your ceiling is a wall. You got to get the bounciness down, not dead. You don't want a dead room.
Right.
Of course, when you put your furniture in, that's going to help a little bit, but don't downplay the importance of room treatments, because you got to have them, especially if you're going to, you know, don't rely on the room correction software to that secondary and important.
Yeah.
But you got to have the physical room treatments first. And so build that into your budget. And if that part's not in your budget, then wait. I'm not saying wait a year.
For a dedicated room, It's tough when it's your living room or anything like that. But when
you're a glass slider. But even then it's just, because I had that. I had setups like that. So what do? You get some heavy curtains for the slider. There's ways to do it. And you see all sorts of different things online of of innovative ways that they've done to kill deflection. So, you know, it's not going to do any for the low frequency stuff, but all the stuff that mud up that center channel dialogue, you can ways, you know, if you're in an apartment, there's ways.
Yeah. So what about, how was the process of the installation and stuff? And did Dream Media do it, or were they just featuring you? So how did that all go?
Yeah. So I contacted them. The only thing I had, I knew when I moved into this house, you know, 6 days before the fire, we just moved into the house, nine days later the fire happened, but I had already purchased my left and right speakers. So that's the thing I had. And we spent a pretty penny because they are just amazing. And they're the Sopra Towers, the Focal Sopras. And, they're just white, shiny with necks. They look like stormtroopers. And I really wasn't thinking, I don't want white shiny in my room. But all I was thinking was those are just a focal of them and good for even audiophile, two channel, whatever. So
yeah,
we purchased those. And then everything was later over the next 2 years while I built my house. So we had that. I hired Dream Media. And I just found them on YouTube and like, wow, they're really good. And I you know, just was attracted to their videos. And lo and behold, they were a DFW company. So by the time I had hired them, they were expanding more and doing more, like affiliate contract, or affiliate's not the right word, but specialized partner, or what do you call it? Like authorized installer. Contractor, okay. Installers in the air graders, but around the country, because they were trying to go more, not global, but more around the country. And the owner moved to Colorado, but he still has a lot of clients here in Texas. So he's like, not a problem. The main sales guy, which is Callan, he's actually in Kentucky. And so even though they had started as integrators and installers themselves, when they were only here in the DFW area, they had to contacts here, and since he moved to Colorado, he was learning installers out that way, and now I mean he has installers in many, many states, but what they did is they just did FaceTime videos. I shot the room back before demo. This is what it looks like. Here are the dimensions. And then since they are local here, they actually came a couple times to check on it. So they hired a local company, which is BTZ Audio Video. So they did all the actual install and then worked hand in hand with Dream Media because they're the designer / seller, the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was pretty seamless. I found my own contractor for the demo construction work, which is
okay.
He built all of my kitchen and bathroom cabinets. So if you can build super nice bathroom and kitchen cabinets, you can probably build a house.
Yeah,
because those are just that's like precision work,
right?
So and he knew what he was doing. I mean, he's experience in all sorts of things. So he had actually just moved into full room remodels and doing less cabinets. So I'm like, hey, you want to design me, you know, here's the design we have. Can you build this theater room? So he did all the demo and the building of it. BTZ came and did the actual install. And then we were on the phone weekly with Dream Media updates, next phase, getting the acoustical treatments in. So it was kind of, I don't know. I was the general contractor because I had all these other guys and I had to make sure they all coordinated with times and, you know, because you have to plan out who was doing it on what day to make it work. But I really didn't have a deadline. So, and I told everyone that I'm like, listen, you know, come over when you can. And I know you have other jobs. I have no deadline. I'd like to be done by Christmas. it'd be great if done by Thanksgiving. And we ended up meeting the, you know, general, you know, in my head that I'd like to be done within a year. So I, from beginning to end, it was about a 10 month process. It happened in 4 months.
Yeah.
But stuff changes things, and I wasn't pushing everyone down instantly. So I think the whole process was about 10 months. And it went by fine. It's good. I'm still in talk with Dream Media. Kellen, the sales director in Kentucky, he loves movies. I mean, that's his thing. So I'm always texting him like, hey, have you seen this movie? What about this? He has a trend off like I do, and he Kaleidoscape. So there'll be things we'll be talking about, little tweaks or about the equipment. And he's a real guy, really easy to deal with. So, you know, even after the fact, they're still very invested in their clients.
Nice.
And then of course, throughout that there, you know, we shot 3 videos. So he just put up that 3rd one recently. So, it was a fun process throughout that. And, I'm glad I hired him.
Now, do they allow you as much input as you want? Like,
for sure.
Do they make recommendations, or do they just be like, this is the way we want to go? Or how much fun was it to work with them?
That's why I really liked them, is that, you know, they interviewed me, you know, okay, what do you want, looking for, what's your style? So they kind of just personality and just things about me that okay, I think this would be good for you. And it helped. I see it's, since I had the full Cal Sopras, they started running with that idea. I'm like, well, if you already have the full Cal Sopras, you definitely want those, and you don't want to go in and you want to stay with those, which we do, you know, I'm speaking as them. We do recommend you do that because they're towers. They're much more powerful and they're gorgeous and they sound great. Is let's stay with that same driver line and go with the Focal 1000 in walls, because I want us for everything else. So center, the front wides, you know, I have a 9.4.6. They're all the Focal 1000 in walls that use the same driver and beryllium tweeters as the Sopras. So as far as, you know, voice mapping and the crossovers and all the, you know, the panning, they're the same model as much as possible. I mean, they're
right.
You know, towers aren't exactly the same, but they all have the beryllium tweeter with the same drivers and guts inside of them. So us in that, which the towers kind of dictated what the best speaker was for that. Aside from that, yeah, they just said, okay, you know, what's more important to you? Is it audio, video, 50-50? You know, since I knew I wanted to have a 9.4.6, maybe I might, in the beginning, I think I said, I think we were 9.2s. He's like, they could see what I really wanted. They're like, we really think you need a trend off. At the time, I'll be honest, I've heard of Yamaha. I've heard of Onkyo. I've heard of Denon. I've heard of Ant. I've heard of Macintosh. I'd never heard the word trend off. It shows you how green was. I didn't know. And that, you know, I don't know if I did commercial, being in commercial theaters, but of course they had been for you know, the regular girl as well, but I'd never heard of them. Like, okay, let me research that, because that's not what I didn't know anything about them. Well, now I know better. Now, like Storm and Trenoff are like pinnacle.
Right.
As far as I know, I mean,
yeah.
And I mean, Macintosh is up. They're all beautiful. Everyone's good. Everyone's lovely.
Right, course, right.
Trenoff and Trenoff, just because I had so many speakers, I have 19 speakers. So the Trenoff really, and then their room correction. I don't know if the thing out there that can equal the Trenoff room correction microphone. It's just,
yeah,
it's amazing.
it's funny.
Unless you're doing it yourself, unless you're doing room correction from your own ear and you know how to tweak and adjust everything. If you're doing things halfway with automation or through a microphone, I think trends everything beat.
It's next level, of course,
yeah.
And it should be.
And I mean, anyone out there, look up the Trenoff microphone.
Yeah.
It's looks like a ray gun.
Yeah. So it's like an alien creature ray gun or something. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. So once they suggested the trend off, it's like being on a showroom floor, you know, whatever, you know, they show you the, I don't know, the souped up thing that's on the showroom floor. You don't want the Ford Festiva out in the parking lot anymore. You want
right
up saline thing that's spinning yeah. around on the turntable in the showroom with the glossy, flashy floor. So, but once I knew I needed the trend, I'm like, I really want it. I'm confident in it. I love that. Let's do it. Let's do it right first time. Cause I don't want to say, I wish I would have. And really just tells through kind of what I wanted. So the process was, they gave me suggestions, and then it was kind of up to me, like the speaker chairs. They're like, whatever. I mean, we can suggest that, you know, you figure out what you want to do. Of course the color, I think they would have helped me more with the design or the color and the setup. But I had my wife for that. So right. they were fine not have be involved. And like, okay, you do what you want, you know, let us know. And we'll add it to the 3D renderings. And then, we went with the Vacoustics for the treatments. And they have all the deflection, diffusion, absorption style. And those are to be seen. So Vacoustics, where they do have models and lines that you can be behind acoustical transparent fabric, a lot of their stuff is pretty. I think it's pretty. It's architecturally pleasing. So that those are exposed. And of Acoustics helped. They did the math to make sure things aren't bouncing around, set up the bass traps and the ceiling and the side walls. So they helped with the design of that and the rendering of that. So that was great dealing with them. I wanted velvet for the front wall and a little bit of the sidewall. So I actually have 4 feet sidewall that's what's it called? It's not the triple velvet, it's the triple velvet, but that's the wrong
yeah.
word.
It's just velvet.
Fidelio with an F.
Oh.
Fidelio.
Okay.
With a lot, I think I want to say Stuart, because I have a Stuart screen. Many of the companies will use Fidelio because triple velvet still can have a reflection.
Oh, really? What on the sides? Like an angle?
Well, yeah. Like if you take a camera and take a picture of the Fidelio and take a pic with a flash on, and then a picture with a flash on a triple velvet, is brighter, from that flash. So I'm like, oh wow. Like again, and that was actually another company that I hired to do the velvet. That was kind of on my own. I mean, Dream Media probably would have done it, but I knew I wanted that. So I kind of added that to the design. So I went with the Videlli just cause it was just like this up, you know, maybe a couple dollars more squared. It totally matches the screen frame. And I guess that's Fidel. It seems to be the same of the Stuart screen. Sorry, Stuart screen. If if it's not Fidelio, it seems to be. So I have the Owens Corning behind the velvet. Velvet's not it's not acoustically transparent, but I have all my speakers exposed anyway, so that's not a problem. So there's a hole in the ceiling for my front Atmos speakers, hole in the center speaker. So I have the Owens Corning fiberglass insulation behind all of that. So that kind of takes care of the front of the room absorption, for nothing bouncing back there.
Right. It sounds like they're,
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. It sounds like they're Yeah, it sounds like they really let you do everything, and they'll just fill in the blanks, right? Like you said, like right.
It's kind of, and then some. I mean, they have some clients just go. I mean, they hand them excessive money. They have clients in Beverly Hills, and you know, some really, you know, people that own yachts type situation, and they're right. like, and they just slide them money and go, give me something, impress me, and they don't really know anything or care to know anything because they got their own thing going. They just want the theater, so they'll handle it however they want to. They'll either work with a designer, like as far as if you're trying to, you know, match the rest of the house or whatever. But if you want to be involved, yeah, then it's like they'll talk to you every day to be, you know, involved as much or as little, or direct it when they need to. I kind of, you know, wanted to kind of be partners with them, not your money. Tell me when you're done. So yeah, they didn't mind that at all. And that wasn't a problem to be partners in instead of just, hiring them and heading the other way while they did it. So
cool.
That was
great. That's
yeah.
That's important. I mean, to me, I think, sure. And you know, I mean, that's if you're really into this hobby, and like you said, it's not, you're not a person that's just like, you know, here's some cash. I really would like this room over here. Let me know when it's done. And it's more of a status thing to those, to people like that. And then yeah, it is going like the hobby
once a year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, what am I going to use? That or my bowling alley? I don't know. You know? And
so. Hey, I really enjoyed your Takeover Tuesday with the leasing
equipment yes.
company.
Keith.
You can give me the details because Keith and what's the name of his company?
Total Home Technologies.
Design Technology? Yeah.
I think it's Total.
So I listened to that. I listened to a lot of their podcasts while I'm... I'm working out in my gym, and so yeah, that was an interesting concept that I didn't know existed either. And of course, it looks like those are again the type of people that have the type of people that have yachts or the
yeah.
It's like, what do you say? Most of our clients don't order dinner; they have their chef order dinner, something like that.
Yeah,
he has some like a tagline just because it is higher end equipment and you have to be right. willing to service goes along with leasing it out. But what a cool concept that he successful at that, because that takes some infrastructure of playing and tweaking to make it work. But it sounds like he's made it work very well.
Yeah.
Being able yeah. to lease equipment and then you're not looking for the full install. It's like. You just give him a little bit of cheese time, so he always wants to be coming back because you're on like this subscription of service.
Yeah, exactly. And it's I found that to be fascinating. And then just getting to know him and hearing all of the innovative ideas that they have, that stuff that I, you know, I've never been, you know, aware of. And it's great because I have listeners now emailing me ideas on how you can DIY some of that stuff. Even Joe, my IT guy, just the other day sent me like a thing on a router that you can actually connect your iPhone or your phone to and get your signal from your phone to use it throughout your entire house. So you would have that cell service in an emergency situation. Okay. So like you have your modem come in from, you know, you have internet come in from the street, goes to your modem goes to your router sends your network throughout your house, whether it's Wi-Fi, hardwired, whatever. Well, this particular router, when the modem fails or the internet fails from the street, you take your phone with a wire connected and hardwire that right into your router and now use the cell service, your data service, and it'll actually pump it through your whole house. And with this, I mean, your data rates are going to go through the roof. But in an emergency situation, if you're running, you know, your house has lost power for a substantial amount of time and you've lost your internet.
Watching, you know, Marvel Endgame, you can't just stop.
Right.
Get that phone hooked up quick.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's, and that's why I love talking to people like that about stuff that is way outside of my wheelhouse, way outside of anything I could. And I said, that's, I think that, isn't that how I started that podcast off? I'm like, I'm so excited to talk to you, and it's something I could probably never afford. But it, that's how you get ideas. Right. And then that's how you get, I mean, for all intents and purposes, you have people out there like, oh, Kaleidoscape stinks. It costs too much money. They've been around for 20 years. And they're the reason a lot of people are trying to, you know, get their Plex system running, because we saw what Kaleidoscape could do 20 years ago. It's like, how do I do that? And we've all developed these things, and other companies have spawned off of that. So, that's how you get, and I've been trying for 20 years. How do I get a system like that? Right. And it's that, and that to me is fun. It's like, there's certain types of ways to be creative. You can actually invent something that never existed, or you can take something that does exist, but is so far out of your reach, but find a way to make it a reality for yourself. And, yeah, you know, it through different means. And to me, that's part of the fun of this hobby. And I have people email me all the time telling me about different ways they've done different things. And that's why everybody's, it is great. It's like most of my followers, listeners, we've all done it our way because that's part of the hobby to us. And just like your theater there. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Yeah. I like to hear all the different ideas and technologies changing and ideas people come up with, a business and much like like a hockey stick. I'm sure you like that reference, but that's kind of my learning curve has been totally hockey stick on all of this. So it is a whole new world that I'm learning, and it's fun to be. To be on the road, to be on the ride. So
it is. It's so much fun. You're always learning. I'm still learning. Everybody's still learning. It's because that's part of the technology too. It's always changing and there's always something better. It's like, I mean, just when you thought you tapped, you know, like you'd reach the pinnacle, they invent HDMI. And then all those cables that we used to, everything gone. And now everything's HDMI, and people nowadays are like, oh, HDMI, this is awful. If you think this is awful, you have no idea what it was like dealing with your left, your right, your input, your outputs. And I mean, there were different ins and outs on the back. And I used to go to people's houses and they would have them like their logic to me was just baffling, because like out of your VCR, it'd be out. And then on the in of the on the television. So you would think they would understand that out means it's going out of the VCR and then into the television. But they would have it like they would have it connected to the in on both and be like, well, it's,
but I am going, I'm putting in.
You're right.
I'm pushing this in.
It was, they couldn't understand why they couldn't get a picture. And I'm like, because you're going, you've got your in connected to another input. And it was just like, right. What the? And it's like, I remember
having to switch to channel 3 to put on your video game system or your channel 3. And then there was the box.
It was on the slider box in the back.
Yes. For TV or antenna or game. And it had the forks that went in to the screws. Oh, those are the good days.
I remember. So I used to have Dish Network, and I got Dish. I installed my first Dish in my apartment. The landlord allowed me to put one out onto the roof. I put it out there, and my wife helped me install it. She's in the living room. I'm out on the roof, and she's listening for it. You had to dial in the tone, and it was like boo-doo, as you're focusing the dish in.
I remember that.
Yeah. And it was like, and she'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'd hold it and I'd go to screw it down, and just tightening the screw would move the dish a little bit and it would go out, and she'd be like, it's off, it's off. And she'd come running over. It was off. It was off. I mean, we didn't even have cell phones that were good enough back then for her to talk to me. She had to run to the window and tell me that, yes, no, yeah. No, no, you're off again. Where nowadays you just put an earpiece in and you'd be, it'd be like you're standing next to each other. Right. So I ran all of that. I learned how to do that. I built this house. I put my dish, I installed my dish here myself. And then back then, if you had to have on your coaxial cable, it was, you know, unidirectional. Like it only went one way. So if you wanted your signal to go, you wanted to send a signal with the coax, it had to, you know, one went one way. And then if you wanted to come back, it would go, you had to have one go back the other way. So I had coax running all through this house in both directions for that. And it was like an upgrade, probably, I don't know, 7-8 years after I moved in, the dish guy comes out and he's like, oh no, coax is omnidirectional now. I was like, what?
What year was that? Like, what would be your best guess when it went omnidirectional?
Probably 08, I'd say, in the time, because I had
thousands.
Oh yeah, in 2000s. Yeah, oh yeah, because it was this house. I moved into this house in 01, and I was running. Now I know this because I had my theater. All my theater has the main gear. The best gear in the house is downstairs. Now, when I wanted to run like a hopper and be able to, and back then, if you had a DVR, you had to have, it wasn't like it is now where they had the new Joeys, like Dish had the Joey system where they would see back and forth. So you would have a hopper in one place in your house that would record everything. That was your DVR that had the hard drive. And then you'd put this little Joey in another part of the house and they would communicate and it would read everything off that. That didn't exist. But if you had a hard drive, what I did, I had the big version downstairs here in the theater, but then I had smaller versions in the house. Now they had to communicate back and forth through coax, but back and forth meant a line two and then another line back so that the two units could talk to each other. So I could be able to watch. So I would be able to watch whatever was on the hard drive downstairs. Well, all of that changed.
That's nice.
Dish. Because they what they did is they took, now they use on coax, like a signal went one way on the inside of the wire. And this is very rudimentary. I don't know but this is how it was explained to me. And then one signal goes on the inside of the wire. The other signal outskirts the outside of the wire of the coax of the cable. I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
But because of that technology, now they could go to that smaller Joey system where they had the Joey, you have smaller ones all over the house and that single coax. Most people only had a single coax to their house. If they got cable, they just went right into that. So that's what they would use. I rewired my house and ran dual coax all over the place. That became obsolete, right? So, I mean, that's
HDMI.
And yeah, exactly. And now you have everything goes perfectly through Wi-Fi if you want. I mean, it goes through, you're not even using coax anymore. We're just using Ethernet all over the house. Right. And now in my new house, of course, I'm going to put Ethernet in every room. I guarantee you 10 years from now, I'll be like, what are those plugs for? Like, we'll have something else. But that's the nature of the game. That's what happens. And it's like, but it's funny when you're like, you look at where we are now, it's so much better than where we've been. Does it have its bugs? Of course, everything does. But
always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's fine for us.
One thing I added to my, that I didn't think I would need is, and I wasn't really paying any attention to it. It is a newer tech, maybe in the last year or less. The Zidoo.
Yeah.
Zidoo.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty new, right? A year or two?
Yeah, that's like a competitor to Zipedy.
I think so. Doesn't Zipedy do rips of movies too? Or
yes.
Am I thinking wrong?
Yeah.
Maybe a higher end Zdo. It's media server, so it'll just play all the files, all of the, you know, from a computer or from a USB drive or from whatever. So it can convert the different file types, different codecs or whatever. So because you've had Kscape, I mean, longer than me, but not extremely long. Did, when you got your Kscape, do you have access to all the Atmos, Dolby, what do you call them? Like demos?
What do you mean?
What are the names? Like Amaze and the Ball One and Unfold. Like, do those names?
The Atmos demo.
Like when you go to a theater and
the short movie, the short videos of.
Do you have all those in your Kscape?
No. I have a bunch of them on my Zapedi, and you download them from the internet, and the Zapedi will play all that.
To have that, but now only the integrators, the people that, you know, the sellers have that their system. And I supposedly used to be able to get that, and you had access to those with Kscape. So I wanted some of those, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, shoot, I have my 4K player. I have nothing to play this. So I love about the Zdo again, dealing with just local guys, because you can get most of those off the internet, find lossless files of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so much fun. So I got my Zdo for that and, just put it. So it's just on a flash drive. And it says lossless when you download it, and they seem pretty, I don't know if it's as good as if I had a disc with it or if they are on the Kscape, but just sit here and play. Those are just fun to play. Someone will come in and like, show me some stuff to do at least those. Cause those intros, I mean, that's what they were made for, was to show the system, you know, at the theater, Amaze with the, Amaze is the one with, has the jungle scene. Mountain scene, and has the bass and the water falling. So I use that a lot. And what's another? Unfold. It's really quick, but that Unfold's really good, where it goes tick, 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 and it unfolds like little triangles.
Yep.
What's another good one?
I didn't know the names of them. I have most of those all on my Zapedi.
Try to find, maybe you have it, because I'm talking like a newbie. No,
those are
I don't know. They're fun to just play over and over again.
Oh yeah, they are.
This one doesn't have any graphic. Well, it basically doesn't have any mix with it. It's essentially a black screen, but it's called The Encounter.
Encounter?
Yeah, The Encounter. And I want to say that's an Atmos one. It is awesome. It is like you get abducted, and you get probed by this alien ship, and then it takes off after, and then leaves you there, you know, crying on the ground. It's weird. It's cool how they do it. But again, it's highlight Atmos, and I mean, it's ship, and it comes down and it lands, and you know, and it scans you, rattles you around, and then leave and or takes you, I don't know, but it's really good. It's really fun to play because it's just in speaker. And The Encounter is a good one, but maybe it's just because I'm old school or just because it's so amazing. My favorite still, out of all this new Atmos stuff that, you know, and Atmos has only been around since 20, I always go back to the THX Genesis, which is, you know, the THX.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows that. And that's been around, I don't know, when Lucas.
93. And
there you go. So, and that one's still, so Genesis one where it spirals in like a black hole. And it's the whole thing, the whole sequence probably lasts 25 seconds because it takes in the spiral black hole and just slowly starts being up, ramping up, ramping up. So what happened was I was demoing that. I can demo I can demo any of these Atmos or THX or DTSX, you know, demo trailer
preview
thing. But
so, the Chromebook was tired.
had to take a nap. So, I know what we were talking about at that. So I'm going to start when the audio got really bad.
Okay. And
funny enough, it's about tech problems as I finally get my computer, or I get my theater up and running, and the tech problems that I had. And I don't remember if I mentioned this, but with all of the Dolby Atmos and DTX and the THX demos that you can do, like when you go to a theater and you see the, you know, you see the capability of the theater and they highlight their, the room that you're about to see the movie, the demos that you can download. This one was called Eclipse. And so, and everyone knows it's pretty popular. It's the THX, long extended one. And, so I have everyone set up and I know how, once things go wrong, you know how to troubleshoot it, but this was the first time. And I have a bunch of people set down and I go to do this. And because of all the subwoofers firing at once and all the speakers firing at once, and everything was just on overload and everything's on the same surge protector power conditioner. When that, because it spirals in and there's this awesome black hole effect. But when you get that resounding THX sound at the end with the massive bass and my screen, everything shuts off, just dies. And I'm like, oh, I am so sorry. And I couldn't figure it out. So I had to run downstairs to the tech closet and figure out what was going on. And I'm yelling up to him like, I'm so sorry. So it was just, and I was, you know, sweating, running back and trying to find out because I didn't know what had happened and it had popped. Right. So like when you have a surge protector that pops, you look for the button and reset that button, but it was kind of hidden, in my tech closet, my tech rack. So when I finally figured out that button needs to just be reset, you know, like a little plunger, just push that back in, then it was fine. And everything came back on. And now I'm going to get a second power conditioner that the subwoofer amplifier is totally separate on a separate, you know, just a separate power strip. Cause, and then that shouldn't happen anymore. So that was the biggest tech stressor that I've had to date. But now that I've worked through it, now I know what to look for. And when those tech things happen, I'm getting pretty adept at dealing with them. That was an experience.
Yeah. And it doesn't make it, it makes it, you know, exponentially more stressful when it's not like you just went in the room by yourself to watch a movie. It's,
right.
That you've just got people there.
That'd be upsetting, but I'm letting them down. They didn't come over to see my inadequacies.
No, exactly. I know. Talk about performance anxiety. Right. And it's like, and I mean, oh man, I know. It's your room looks impressive. Everything, you got a giant screen and comfy chairs and people sit down and just everything goes, and you're like, then you know what people are thinking. They're like, what the hell did he pay for? What the hell is this? You know, and you're like, no, I can fix this. But you're like, how?
Right.
I think everybody listening can relate because it's what happens. It's just the nature of what we do and what we're into, you know?
So I got to tell you this. And again, it's depending on how the listeners are listening to this. So as the system, so sorry, listeners, if you don't, or you're not following here, but this is part two of one that's going to be part one, whatever. But when I was having all the problems with you, with our first recording of this show,
of this episode,
just as it dies, right? I get this random call and I think you're messing with me because guess who tweets me? Guess who sends me a tweet out of the blue? Like he's never communicated directly through me.
He DM'd you?
Yes, he DM'd me in Twitter, and it was Danny Speakers, Dan Carpenter.
Oh no!
And he's like, hi, I just wanted to see how you're doing. I'm like, Oh, he's got to be with DJ right now. He's totally screwing with me.
No,
and I'm sweating. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm trying to get back on with you.
No, I would never do that to anybody. That's so funny.
Because, like, what a coincidence. He's like, hey, just want to see how your speaker or how your system's doing. And I haven't heard, you know, I just want an update. And I'm like, okay,
now's not the time, buddy.
One to ten. I'm like either he's screwing with me and he knows somehow because he's sitting behind you, or
no.
Just like coincidence. Like, I didn't really let on. I'm just like, oh, the system, you know, like, because the theater was good. It was just the podcast that was crumbling. I just
can't tell anybody about it.
Yeah, I'm just like,
except Danny.
It's going good, Danny. So it's just funny that he tweets me right then, DMs me. Just hilarious how that.
That's awesome.
And he's gonna laugh at that, like,
oh yeah,
like the worst time he could have done it, just because of my mentality then. And I'm trying to be polite, I'm like, dude, it's all good.
Oh yeah,
but and I'm losing my mind right now. Just funny, just a
it
side
is
note
that it's I, funny I'm mention. Yeah, that's fantastic, because it's like I've been there, and like stuff goes on in your life outside of home theater, and people are like, hey, checking in on this. And it's like, you're like, not now. But you're like, so you're like, but you know what is nice though, is because it's social media, it's like, I try to get back to everybody as quick as I can, but it's not necessary, you know? And it's like, you know, we forget, like, I have tons of people in my, like, friends and family that you text them. My sister's so funny. You text her, personally text her, and she'll get back to you at like 2 a.m. the next day. She's just so busy. And you'll be like, and that, you just know that's who she is, you know? And it's like, I'm like, I wish I could be a little more like that. I'm just more OCD. I have that red bubble with a number on it. I got to get rid of that. And the other thing is, I also, like, I'll leave the red bubble. Like, if you email me, like, to manage this show, I'll look at some emails, and then I'll mark it as unread again, just so they know when I get home, I can move that to the folder for the show. Right. Yes. I tell people all the time in my life, I'm like, if you text me and I don't answer, get right back to me, because you're not bugging me. Cause if you're texting me, especially if it's for work or what I do with hockey or something like that, I'm like, get back to me. It means I looked at it and then got off on it, sidetracked on something else. And then you're not going back through. You know?
Yeah.
So I know stuff slips through the cracks all the time, but that's at least home theater wise, I have this outlet too. I can sit down. And so if you're looking for a response from me, everybody, just, you know, and you didn't get one, hit me up again. It just means it slipped through.
Yeah, my wife is definitely, I mean, we're a lot alike, but my wife will just let things, I'll get back to him when I feel like it, because she doesn't want to train people to think she'll get right back to them. But I'm probably within 5 minutes, I'm responding to you. And then I don't have to think about it. I just get away right away. But yeah, some people are fine with waiting, and I'm just not wired that way.
Yeah, I know. And you're that way when you send a text, right? You're on the other end going,
right.
I try to be
forgiving. Well, the worst is when they text you and you text right back and then they don't respond for a few days. I'm like, Did you die on the other end? You just texted me and you can't get back, you know, but I'm just like, hey, everyone's not like me. Everyone's not.
Are they mad at me? Yeah. What did I do? Me and Todd Anderson are like that. I'm like that with him, because he's super busy. I'm busy, but it's like, and it's, that's why I try to get back right away. Cause if I don't, I'll forget.
Forget. Sure.
Right. And then Todd is the same way, and he usually gets right back to me, but then if he doesn't, it'll be days. I'm like, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Right.
But it's it's funny how you react to stuff like that. But
so let's update people with my system.
We're into the second half here.
Right.
Whether you realize it or not, John.
Right. Might feel like the first half to the listeners, but second half, at least for me, I don't know.
No, it'll be the second half.
It'll be second. Worry. Okay.
Yeah.
So just to recap, on the system that is finally up and running, that we got up and running at the end of December. I have URC is controlling everything. So that's a lot like Control 4 or Crestron or Savant, but it's been around even longer. It's old school.
Really? Okay.
But the people that the installers are more familiar with it. So I'm like, I don't care. Use it whatever you want, as long as it's good. And like, oh yeah, it's awesome. I mean, they're at CEDIA. They had a huge section at CEDIA here in Texas. So yeah, so that's URC, which means universal remote control, funny enough.
Yeah.
So it's automating everything in the room. I have KaleidoScape. I only have 6 terabytes. So wrong. Don't get 6 terabytes. You'll regret it. And I knew I was going to regret it almost when I did it. I was just trying to save a little money. Like everything, you can put everything on the cloud and download, and you can. Yeah. But when you're trying to demo stuff for people and you only have 6 terabytes worth, but you have 300 movies ready to go. It's just, it becomes more annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got the KaleidoScape. I do have the Mad VR, which is the video processor. Beautiful, wonderful. For speakers, have the Focal Sopra for the left and the right, which are tower speakers. And the Sopra has the Beryllium tweeter. And then the In-Wall 1000s, also Focal, have the Beryllium tweeter. So they're the same tonal quality, the same voice matched. So I have the 1000s for my Atmos and my bed layer. And then I have the RTJ 18-inch subwoofers, and I have 4 of those. Of course, I have the Trinov and audio control amps. So that's my system. And then an NZ8, the JVC 3100. So that's my system.
So you never went to the 9?
I didn't do the 9. You talked me down. You talked me off the cliff. I even thought about getting that limited edition 20, where there's only like 25 of them, because I went to CD and they had one there, and it was just so sexy. And like, there's only 25. That'd be so fun.
But, yeah.
Crazy money. I think it was like 150,000 contrast ratio on that special edition. Yeah. But yeah, for the size of this room, which is about 25 feet long, and I have this on the projector's on a projector lift. So
above
it's only
you, right.
Right. Yeah. So it's only 17 feet into the room. So for 17 feet, brightness wise, 17
foot throw, you mean?
Yeah. 17 feet foot throw to the front screen.
How big is the screen?
NZ8's fine. It's a 150 inch Stuart Studio Tech 130. So it's
okay.
Plenty
so you
bright.
Got a 1.3 gain.
Yeah.
And which, yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
And that's so
if I was all the way back at 25 feet, and if I was really, really concerned about brightness, maybe go NZ9.
Maybe the 9, yeah.
Yeah, but since I did the projector lift, it's fine at 17 feet. That's fine for the NZ8.
Oh, yeah.
There's no complaints. So, yeah. So that's what I got for the system. But let's talk about some KaleidoScape things.
Oh, boy. Okay. So everybody get your drinking goggles on.
So we both love it, right?
Did you see that one, that tweet?
No, tell me.
I think it was it Francis? I think Francis, it was the one of my Twitter followers, listeners, said, new drinking game. Every time DJ says KaleidoScape, take a drink.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I like it. I'm like, and what's funny is I'm like, that's cool. I'm like, I'm good with that. And it's like, it's because I'm not. It's
people
like saying I watch it
eyes.
On it. Yeah, that's fine. And that's fine. But it's what I watch on, right? Just like saying disc. If you have a disc and, you know, it's like, or a stream, or you watch it on the, but I have a KaleidoScape. So I watch it on KaleidoScape. So just drink away, knock yourselves out, have a good time. But all right, go ahead. See, now you brought it up.
I am. And I'm going to bring it up a lot because it's like, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of it so much. But some things that, and they're pretty, like, we know you've
they're
had
pretty.
Them on. No, they're pretty good at, but even better than pretty good at. They, people at KaleidoScape, they are movie enthusiasts, right? You've had some of them on your podcast. They love it. So they are really good at feedback and interacting with suggestions and all this. So I'm positive that one day, not I'm hopeful, I guess is better, that they will fix this at some point. But what's annoying is because like I had 4 separate demos that people coming over just this week.
Mm-hmm.
I hosted a May the 4th and we watched Rogue One and then watched A New Hope. That was fun.
Oh, that's a good time. Yeah.
And then I'm in the DFW area of Texas and I have a DFW get together group. And
yeah,
we
I saw
try
that.
To do a new theater. Once a month, we'll just get together at someone's home theater at whatever capacity it is. So that's a lot of fun. So I host and, you know, people come over, but, or if someone wants to watch a movie on KaleidoScape, you cannot print out, You know, you can print out a list of everything you have downloaded on your system, right?
Yeah.
Through the web UI, you can do an Excel spreadsheet of everything you have downloaded currently on your system. But okay, you can't print out a list of everything you own. And to me, it seems like just a simple coding. I mean, I don't code for a living, but it seems like if it's everything I've ever purchased, that would be a simple Excel spreadsheet. You can only do ones that are on your system, because it'll do an Excel spreadsheet, which is nice. I like that they have that, but it won't do it of all of them. And there's people that have been requesting that, because there's a Kaleidoscape owners forum. You can't get everything. So my solution, the only way I can do it, and you can tell me if there's a cooler, a better way. Well, there's always a way. You can just sit there and type for an hour and type it all out. Is I will just do on the iPhone, you know how you can do a screen recording?
Yeah.
And I will just go through, I'll select all my movies, even if they're not downloaded in the system. I'll select all my movies and do a video, and I'll just scroll through.
Right.
And I'll send that video of every movie I have to one of my friends so they can currently see all my movies. But it would be so helpful if Kaleidoscape had it where that Excel spreadsheet had every movie I've ever purchased, even if it's not currently downloaded. So I'm still waiting on that, but
I just hang on a second.
I promise.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And there's people asking too. Like, I'm not the only one out there asking for it. That's my biggest ask right now. And it's not even like content related. It's just like throw us a bone. Because then I can print that list out anytime I want to my buddies when they want to select a movie to come over with. And what do you think about the Kaleidoscape projector handshake? Like, what do you feel that delay is?
Mm-mm. I have none. I have none. I have nothing major.
Interesting.
But you know what's funny, and again, I'm not picking on JVC. Nelson had a slightly longer delay with his JVC, and he has I think he has the NX, not the NZ. He has the NX9, I believe. If it's not, it's the 8.
Because I have the Mad VR in between also, right? So yeah, I have two things that it has to handshake through.
That typically, in my experience, from what I understand, is the video processors actually help with that a little bit. They usually smooth that stuff out, because the projector should be doing as little as possible, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because your video processor, whether it's a Lumen the tone or Mad VR, doing all of the work, the extra stuff. So then all your projector has to do is switch from, you know, if it's going to what you can also check your settings too on your I'd be interested to see what your settings are for your for your Mad VR and what kind of signal it's sending. My Lumagen up converts everything to 4K, and it's sending it, you know, and everything going to my projector is in SDR.
Okay.
The projector
I'm pretty sure mine's like that too.
Right. And that's the idea, is that now the projector is not doing any work, right? So it doesn't have to switch back and forth. I'm not familiar with Nelson's, he doesn't have a Mad VR. He has a Lumagen like me, but he had a slightly longer handshake than me. My handshake is probably when I switch, and it's not indicative of the Kaleidoscape. I go from Apple, I go from Kaleidoscape, I go to my Panasonic, a PlayStation, anything. And it's just, you know, about 4 seconds, 4 or 5 seconds now, tops.
The annoyance on my handshake is I get video, and then a few seconds later I get the audio. So I get the video pretty quick, but it's on mute for a few seconds. And even sometimes, like, people be looking around like, should there be sound right now? And then it'll kick in like, just give it like 3 or 4 seconds. But it's like I have it muted. And so that makes it complicated. If I'm doing a bunch of demos or a bunch of like, have you ever played with scripts?
Yeah.
With the Keyscape? Okay. Yep. So if I had a bunch of scripts, of certain demo things, and every one of those is muted for the first 3 or 4 seconds. And sometimes you need that audio to kick in instantly. If there's a video, because it's a scene that already exists. Unless it's a scene you created, the script's going to do a scene that, that Kaleidoscape, curated already. Right. So, so you get the video, and if the audio doesn't show up for 3 or 4 seconds, you might have missed that first boom or whatever hit. So, so I've played with it. There's just, whether it's the Mad VR or it's just the handshake between the audio and video, and it's synced. It's not like there's a lip sync problem.
Right.
It's just a little bit delayed. So it makes doing a bunch of demo scripts, challenging.
Well, what you can do is when you make in those scripts, you could put a delay at the beginning of your scripts,
make it longer.
Yeah, you make the beginning longer, but you can, I think you can actually put a pause at the begin of the script. So when you're making a, you know how like you, when you make them, it's like here, put a delay in here.
Yeah, you put like this. A time code or
Yeah, so you could do that ahead of time. I think I was just talking about it in last week's podcast. It's like when I start a movie on the, you know, when you start on a Kaleidoscape, it goes right to the movie. And usually with my handshake, all I'm missing out on is maybe a, you know, some, you know, I don't know, the company, like the company that's whatever it is, something from the early part of the movie, you know, what do you call it?
A
production company credit or something like that.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what movie I was talking about, but it had a fantastic like sound with it. So when it kicked on, I was like, ooh, and I back it up because I have, do you have the 6 second? I think it's 6 seconds. The 6 seconds rewind button. Do you know that exists for the Kaleidoscape? You can jump like back on
my
6 seconds.
Remote from my app.
Yeah.
Like the app on my phone, a 6 second rewind.
It's not on the Kaleidoscape app, but it does exist. So I found it with the Harmony remote. So when using my Harmony remote, I found it because you can go in when you program in your Harmony, and I'm sure your remote company can find it as well.
Yeah.
But there's a button that you can tap, and it'll go, and the movie will skip back. It's like 5 or 6 seconds, and it's great. So they can
add that to, because that my URC remote definitely does not have that.
Yeah, so
if it's like a code they can enter in.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. It exists. Cause it's on Harmony's website. I have it.
Okay.
I got it through Harmony because I was like, I put in Kaleidoscape. I said this, and it was like, and I'm scrolling through all the options. I go, oh, let me put this button in on my Harmony Elite, you know, that little button in the bottom right corner. It's like right above the bottom where they have the, the plug outlet buttons or the light buttons. It's right above that on the right, and it's got that little arrow that goes back. So I programmed it to that, so when I'm watching a movie, if I saw something I really liked, I can tap that twice and go back 10 seconds. The same thing at the beginning of a movie, so that's how I know I'm only 4 or 5 seconds, because if I've missed something dramatic in some kind of opening credit I'll tap that and it'll just start the movie over, but all the handshake's been done.
Right. And most things other than a Kaleidoscape, that's like a no brainer, like Apple TV or I don't know, probably Plex. There's just a button that says 10 seconds skip forward or 10 seconds skip back.
But most DVD players don't have it. The Panasonic doesn't have it. My Zepedi had 10 forward, 10 back, 1 minute back, 1 minute forward.
That'd be so nice. That'd be so convenient to have. Yeah.
I asked Kaleidoscape about that one. I'm like, can we get something like that? And every update you get on the phone, I'm like, come on. You're waiting. Because, I mean, and that's what I do, right? I mean, that's simple.
You would think. I mean,
it's more simple for Kaleidoscape, Zepedi, even Plex. Because you're running it off a hard drive. Whereas if you're spinning a disc, maybe it's not as easy to do. I don't know. Maybe that's why it's not on Blu-rays. But the Kaleidoscape does have it. So ask about it. If they can't find it, let me know, and I'll dig through my Harmony programs and I'll find it for you and give you the information.
That'll be my
whatever I can give you.
My tweak of the week will be finding
the 6 seconds. It's a good one. Yeah, it's a good one because it's huge for especially exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. You know, you're watching demo and something, be like, did you like what you heard? Boop, and just jump right back.
Now, have you ever done imported scripts? I've never played with Nelson. That where you can get other people's.
Yep. Nelson has sent me some.
Is that pretty easy? You just go through the web UI and plug it in?
Yep. Yep.
I just haven't played with it. I wouldn't think it's that complicated, but
I have them on my, and I actually put them into my Kaleidoscape. So like if I want someday when Nelson comes here, I can play those same scenes for him.
Okay. Cool.
And he sent when I went to his house, he sent them to me like a week. He goes, I'll send these to you. I've never sent mine out. I haven't gotten that far. But Nelson sent me some, and I believe, I think Todd did too. A while ago, he sent me some back when from Base Hunters. It's pretty cool. And it's
as
like,
long as you have the same movie.
You have to have the same movie. Yeah.
Will it just say, don't have that one, or will it just,
you just don't have it. It won't access the movie. So,
hey, so what do you think of the newest update with Kaleidoscape? Again, sorry, viewers, or you know, if you don't have it, this is a commercial for Kaleidoscape. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. I'd be getting paid.
Right. Yeah. But they've made some things cheaper, more accessible, because now they have those, what's it called? Content sets.
Oh yeah.
So now
I keep sending them to John and Steve. I'll text a picture. You are in mine. I'll say you already own everything in this collection.
So you already own them.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the content sets aren't really helping you because you already own them. But every James Bond, it's like 25 James Bond, and it's like, I don't know, like
I don't own all of those. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't own all of those. I own a good portion of them.
But I don't have any of the Bourne, and I don't have any of the Mission Impossible. When you divide that out to, there's five Bournes and there's seven. Or the seven about to come out. There's six Mission Impossibles, whatever they are. When you divide that out, it's like $9 to $12 a movie, I think.
Less than that. A lot of times. So it's awesome. Like $6 a movie.
So that's so cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's so cool. Unless you already own it, then you're like, well, I can't take advantage of that. Mm. But so I'm really excited on some of that content stuff. And some of them are like getting all the Avengers movies or getting all the, I got the Iron Man's, already, but that's not even a special. Like, I think that's going to be ongoing. That's just how they're going to do things moving forward. So what a great way to save
the pricing
money
is all set by the studios,
right? That's true.
So
absolutely,
it's not really them. It's the, so I don't know. I have no idea, but I would imagine that as the prices must fluctuate based on the studios, but I'd imagine the money Kaleidoscape gets from each purchase would probably be the same. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, say they're getting $1 a movie that's sold. If you know, Disney lowers their price, they're still getting their buck.
Yeah.
And then Disney's just selling, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think
I'm going to be paying less.
Yeah.
So whoever's given us that perk, that's great. So we're buying them individually.
Yeah, and it's they're usually coming out this time of year with those big sales. Like, I think I finished up my Marvels last year around this time when they did kind of the same thing, and I got every single one. Mm. But when they all came out, I had already had probably already half of them. So then when you buy them and you're like, you click on it and then they show you at the bottom your final price, and I was like, all right, I own every single Marvel movie and it cost me $64. Yeah. You know, because it's like, all right, now I got them all. And the same with, I mean, Star Wars, and I have, you know, but
great.
It's just now does your system, you have a way more sophisticated system with the, with your remote system and everything like that. Are you taking advantage of the stuff that a guy like me, I can't take advantage of yet, that Kaleidoscape has to offer, like the flaggings of the lights and everything? And
So when I push play for the movie, it'll ramp everything down, and I have it set like, you're gonna have to come, you'll have to make it here one of these days. Because when the installers did it, who are also the integrators with the URC, is they just, you know, they just, they turned my, the accent LED lights off, you know, cause I'm, it's kind of like a spaceship corridor type thing. So yeah. All the arches turned off and all the main lights, the cam lights, they all just turned off or on. And I'm like, hold on, wait a second. Can you delay? Can you like turn certain things off at certain times? I can do whatever you want. You know, it's yeah. a, you know, automated system. So I have it when it shuts off, it almost shuts down. Like I'm going to use the term because we're both nerds. Yeah. Like a lightsaber. It just goes, yeah. and they all fade off, like the can light, the front can lights, and then the front LED, and then the middle can lights and the middle LED. So it ramps down slowly and then yeah. ramps back up, like from the back of the corridor to the front.
Yeah.
So when the credits start rolling with the Kaleidoscape, how they have it, and you know if there's a final
end credit scene,
you know if there's an end credit, and you know if there's not an end credit. Because they already have that programmed in that it will, when the lights come on, you know, okay, there's no more end credit. So I'm taking advantage of that. What other things? I think that's really the only thing is the lighting. But I know that they have a lot of, what are they called? It's the coding, but there's a better term for it. There's a lot of things in that metadata.
Yeah, the flags, the metadata mm-hmm. that can do anything. It's all in there for exactly that. You can customize your own experience. And mm-hmm. I remember talking when you were still in the building designing phase.
Yeah.
And you had chosen your lights, and I'd never considered this before, but you had chosen your lights because of the percentage that they could get down to. Like right,
without flickering.
Yeah. And the I was dimming. Like, ooh, that's interesting. I never even thought of that. Like, so like my lights, I have just like the Hue bulbs, you know, sure. the little candelabra bulbs that yep. go into my sconces on the side, and they go down to a certain point and then just go out. Right.
Yeah.
So it's mm-hmm. like you get, they'll dim from bright or medium down to low, but then it's off. Right. Sure. They don't go down, and you were like, yeah, these things go down to like 1%. So they go, it looks like they go all the way gradually to off.
Very, yes.
Which is really nice. And it allows you to have that. Work. Yeah. It allows you to have that experience of the lights fading to the back of the room. And that's just.
Oh, and then, and then also when you hit intermission, so there's an intermission button on your smart pad remote. And when you push that intermission button, I have it set up so. Just the backlights will kick on at mm-hmm. like 50% and the step lights will come on.
Yeah.
So just certain lights will come on for intermission that, you know, when someone needs to, you know, take a potty break. So that's the other thing that is integrated in. And then, I do have a digital movie board, you know, that'll just cycle through different movies just outside my theater room. And,
there's a company down by you that does. Did you get this? Nelson got one. I think
San Antonio.
Yeah, I think it's San Antonio. It's like $2,000 for their highest model. I wanted to reach out to them. Yeah,
they are. Yeah, he
it's kind of worth it too. Yeah, it's kind of worth it because if you try to do it yourself, you might save yourself a couple $100 because you got to buy the TV, the computer, the software. But it's
plug and play when you get it from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hooked up to Wi-Fi. So I'll get brand new movies that come on it. You know, I get Quantumania's on there now and everything, Megan and all these new ones. I'm like, hey, new movies are on that. But then he knows someone with Kaleidoscape and they're trying to get it where it's not, where it's directly with the company. I shouldn't say anything. But just so it'll work with their TV. So the now playing will be integrated in with Kaleidoscape.
I thought it already did that. It doesn't.
It doesn't. Now
there was one that does.
Yes, there absolutely is. If you know the third party guys, but where it's actually, let's say, authorized or supported by Kaleidoscape, right. I know he's trying to get it to work. Let's just say that it's supported with Kaleidoscape, and they'll make sure that it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll play the now showing on the digital movie board. So I don't have that. Right now, but that is a future thing they can do. And when you do it that way, it's plug and play. You don't, a lot of people like to create their own TV digital movie board, but if you don't want to bother with it, it's a little bit more, but then it's done. And they're going to, if something goes haywire, I can call him up and he'll tell me what to do instead of me trying to figure out the problem.
Right.
So I love
Nelson's really good with that stuff. He actually did one himself first. And it came out fantastic. And he's like showing, he's texting me, this was a couple of years ago. And he's like, oh, look at this. And I've wanted to do it. I've wanted to have it back here, right behind me, so that I can actually do stuff like that. But it's and again, it's that legwork that, that you have to do that. I'm sure, I know I can do it. Nelson and I have talked about it, but it's the time. And it's like, I got, you know, better. Like I tried to use Roomy, the Roomy remote, which I think is great. And I had, you know, I had Ralph on and we talked, he loves it. He's well integrated with that. And Roomy remote's kind of like what, you know, it's the Zepedi / Plex version of what you have for your remote, right? I have to do everything myself.
Yeah.
And on the Roomy, I can actually, I can have it when I hit a button. The lights will go out. The lights will dim when I hit play. Everything, you know, and it works great. And when I hit intermission, my I have track lighting around all my, you know, knickknacks in the back on those shelves. So when I hit intermission, those go on.
Nice.
And then when I hit play, lights go off again. And it's so I can do all that. But what I can't, I haven't been able to figure out how to do with Roomy is hit one button, integrate the my receiver, my Marantz, to that reference the quick one button, the quick number one button, which I have set up to go to reference level for audio, right? On my Harmony, I can hit the volume button. If I hold down the plus, it automatically just goes to reference.
Okay,
so that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's nice it could be, because you don't have to do it. You're like, boom, I know I'm at reference. So there's things I can do with each of them that make them convenient, but I can't do everything with either of them.
Right.
You know, and that's stuff that I'm hoping to be able to solve in the future with either something like a Control 4 and, you know, in my new one, or the only thing is I'm kind of afraid to let go of some of that creativity that I like to play with.
Then you have to work with an integrator that knows how to use it. Yeah.
And then I feel like I'd get frustrated because I'd be like, come on, I know what can be done. Get out of my way. Let me do this, you know, but it's just, I've got to let that part of me go. And maybe with this new theater, I'll allow stuff like that because I'll just want to sit down and, you know, and the way this project's going, I'll need to get to work to make more money.
And you don't need, and well, just taking one more thing off your plate might be a good idea as long as, as long as it can do everything. Cause when I tell the A lady to turn my system on, cause usually I just do it by voice, or if I hit the remote, however I decide to do it, my, the shades in the stairwell will come down. My projector will come down, and then whatever the source I ask for will come up on the screen. So, and that's one click, but I don't have a click for like, to go for, I mean, I could obviously, but I could ask my URC guy to set it up so it instantly goes to reference. That would be convenient. That'd be kind of cool to have that.
Yeah. Or a desired level, whatever's reference for you, because like
the white setting or the,
well, yeah.
Or the John setting.
The John setting. That would be great. And to be able to say, like, you know, from reference is different. I mean, we do have reference level. For me, reference is reference. But if you're always watching movies, any listener, say you're watching, you watch everything at minus 10. Well, that's reference for you. Because that's how you reference every single movie, and that's how you judge every movie. And you can tell the same things that I can tell at reference level. You know, you'll know if it's low, if it's high, if it's, you know, if it doesn't have as much, you know, the dynamics aren't there like you want. Like in other movies, you're gonna get it all. I would argue that you're gonna miss some stuff, but if you're constantly missing the same thing, you're not gonna notice it. You know, that's reference to you. Let me ask you this. You just mentioned it a second ago. You hit this and your projector comes down. Do you watch, and do you have a regular monitor, or is everything through the projector?
Everything is through the projector.
So it doesn't have to move. You just moved it because it's the coolest thing to do, right?
Right. Well, because when it's up, then it's clean. Okay. It's just, it makes the room clean.
Right. And so you could have like a basketball game in there and be okay.
Right. Yeah. If it's up, yeah, we can play volleyball.
It's too bad. This is audio only. The look on your face is like why the hell would I have a basketball? Yeah. What? No, I mean playing like basketball. Hoop, right? Yeah, well, you could the look on your face like you're being a dink right now. Yeah. No, but that is just so cool.
It does look like, great because people come in and they don't think about the normal person when they come in, they don't think where's the projector. They just see this big screen, and then when I turn it on, and then they hear this lowering, like whoa, you know, they turn around and look, and they're like, oh yeah, the projector. I forgot Have you ever
experienced like a screen your size or relatively like a giant screen and have it be a rear view projector?
No, I've never. Yeah, you have to have a lot of room in front.
Yeah,
of
or
screen,
you do
right?
mirrors
or behind your screen.
Yeah, you could do it with mirrors too. Uh-huh. Same way they do it. The old Mitsubishi, the old rear projection televisions.
Sure.
It was exactly. Down low in the front and it shot it up, and because you can get the same distance with a shorter by bending, because it's the distance is the same even though there's a reflection, right? You know what I mean? So
that would be great. It'd sure make it clean.
Yeah wouldn't it? And it's actually if I remember correct, it's actually brighter too. Because the light isn't, you obviously using a different type of screen, but the light isn't reflecting off the screen. It's literally being shot through the screen.
It makes sense, right? Yeah, it's not a reflection. It's direct.
Yeah. So, I mean, I it was years and years ago in a demo that I saw one, and I was like, you're like, where's the? And then you go behind it, and they did. They had it bounced off, and you have to, you got to control that room and everything. But
I mean, I don't know if you could do that. And all the speakers, if you had all your speakers, but I don't know, maybe you can, maybe
it's the kind of the similar situation to what we have now, where like if you have a traditional screen instead of acoustically transparent, right? So your speakers would all have to be on the outside of the screen.
Okay. Yeah. Which that's how mine is actually.
Yeah.
All mine are on the outside. I don't have an AT screen.
That's a pretty cool setup right there. And then you never have to worry about somebody walking in front of the lens, and you don't know shadows and stuff.
Yeah.
But you're right. You do have to have a good amount of space behind it, to get to that size. So
it would freak people out, like, where is your projector?
Because
that's not something you see nowadays.
But, no. Yeah. Pretty cool. It's a pretty cool setup.
But that would be, I don't know if any of the new ones do anything like that, but I guess they might be able to, as long as, like I said, that the screen is.
I haven't checked the settings in a while, but I know some of my older projectors definitely did it. Cause when you scroll through your settings, you'll see, ceiling mount, table mount, rear mount, rear projection mount, and it's just taking the image and
and flipping it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just flipping it. So it's pretty simple to do. That's not the toughest thing these things are doing nowadays. So.
No, I think it'd be pretty easy.
Yeah.
To do it. So what, Kaleidoscape. Okay.
You're back to Kaleidoscape.
Shot. No, I don't, not really.
Do a shot. But, here we go. I'm skating tonight. Uh-oh.
So John Wick 4, that just came out.
Did you see it yet? I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it in the theater. And then, of course, it came out on digital on Monday, which means we got it on Monday, and I had already pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
So I got it was on my system before I even knew it. So I haven't watched it yet because I want to get – no, I haven't watched it in my theater yet because I want to get some guys together. So I sent out a text today like, hey, give it – when are we watching this? So – but I've been waiting, right, because it's been able to pre-order for quite some time. And it's been sitting – you know how it is. It sits in the pre-order, but it says – you don't know when the date is. It just says coming soon. And like, I've had to go through Cocaine Bear and Super Mario Brothers and Dungeons and Dragons. And all these things were getting out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, come on, John Wick. And so when I saw that it was on my system on Monday, I'm like, yes. So it is good. It is good.
Is without good?
Any spoilers, you're going to see.
It's 2 hours and 50 minutes long.
It is a long movie. And but you're going to see some cinematography they've never done in John Wick before, and I want to say I've never seen
I've never seen
this type of cinematography. I'm not saying it hasn't, but
yeah,
I can't remember the last time I saw any type of cinematography in one certain scene that's very unique and gives it a whole new feel. And you'll know when you see it, like, this is the scene he was talking about. Very, 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 very cool. And I don't even want to tell you why, but it's going to be like,
yeah,
that is so cool. But
awesome.
I'll just leave it at that. Wait.
Yeah, yeah. I warned my son. I'm like, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes. It's so long. We've got to find it. I don't mind sitting for it, but it's like for the two of us to be able to be in one place at the same time with his schedule, my schedule. And then I got to be up. He's got to be up before me. So it's like, you know, it's like, it's easier if it's just one of us trying to do something, but
it's like in game Marvel in game level, length of a movie.
But yeah.
You don't feel like it when you're in it. You're just like, this is a long movie, but you know, you enjoy it the whole time because it's stinking John Wick. So it's, there's not a lot of downtime.
Now you saw Sisu, right?
I did. And that's a quick movie.
That's a quick John Wick movie.
My God. My head so much.
Was that you yesterday? Was that you that said 25%? That was awesome. It's perfect. It was perfect. You're like 25% reality.
I mean, I love Inglourious Bastards. Anytime, you know, you can, you know, take care of some Nazis, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But like, what? Come on.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's
like towards the end.
But it's so much fun. Yeah. Like Steve was saying, it's so much fun.
Yeah. Well, how did he say it's a comic book?
It's, yeah,
you know, comic book like Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote type thing. It's like,
exactly. So
as long as you go into it like that, then it's fine.
But what's funny is it actually starts off very cinematic.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And it's like the way it's shot, the tone, right? Yeah. It's like, it's kind of like a high contrast with a, like, it's hard to describe. It's like those shots of those fields and stuff. There's a lot of there's a lot of color to the flowers and the fields and whatever, but it's memory,
like apocalyptic.
There's a little desaturation going on there, but at the same time, it's very vibrant, which is hard to describe. You'll know what I mean when you see it, but then it's like a beautiful scope. It's like very grandiose, like, oh, look at all this. And he's a little speck in the middle. And then what's it take, like 20 minutes to get going? And then you're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. Well, and I was surprised that I thought it was going to be dubbed or it was going to have, you know, English subtitles or something, but it was in English. I'm like, okay,
it's in English.
That makes it easy.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be more like, you know, like All Quiet on the Western Front, which totally different movie, but I mean, same era. but I thought I was going to be doing reading because I would want to watch it in the original, because a lot of times that'll change the audio mix if you watch an English dub. But it wasn't like that. So it's easy to watch as far as that goes. It's in English.
Yeah.
And it's definitely an easy watch. You can shut off your brain and just watch some Nazis get what's coming to them.
Oh, so silly. My God. It's so funny. Yeah. How about The Covenant?
I haven't seen that, and but you totally made me want. I mean,
it's only a rental though right now. I'm just like, but it was still worth it to me, anyways. I loved it.
It's a rental on Kscape.
Yeah, $19.99. It's all you can do,
and that's why. So I'm like $20. I'm so used to waiting and getting the $10 or $15 deal that I saw $20 in, but you made me want to do it because of everything you said about it, and just the content, and that it's at least based on
it'll eventually be out. Yeah, it's not based on a true story. It's true events. They took the events to be fair, it's in the synopsis. It's he goes back for his interpreter. So basically,
get out, and then our country's like forgot to help him out.
So basically, what Guy Ritchie did is he made a story out of us exiting Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And how many people were left behind. And that's been in a few things. I don't know. Sure. Did you watch The Diplomat? on Netflix. That's it. They drop it in there. Really, really emotional scene regarding that with Kerry Russell. And it's just really emotional. And you're like,
yeah, I can imagine.
It's regarding women and how they're treated over there and stuff. And yeah, that one was tough, but they, but yeah, it's so the Covenant. I'm like I said, I'm like, it's so far, it's my movie of the year. I'm
nice.
Like, it's just, and it's a great home theater movie, but it's actually like it's a great film too. But, yeah, I can't wait for people to see it. And eventually when it hits, whether you can purchase it or the disc or whatever, it's,
yeah,
you know, it's, I think more people will see it, but
it's for sure on my list. No doubt. I got, one thing that I didn't realize when I got into, you know, looking at all the movies is, Kaleidoscape did, but I don't think they have, I know they don't have it anymore, but I think they did, was Apocalypse Now.
You know, Francis Ford
Coppola's, yeah, I know, but it's not on there now. You have it, but if you search for it, it's not there.
Really?
And there's, right. And there's like four different versions. So I went ahead and I bought that 4K because you can see the Redux, you can see the original. Yeah. And then there's the newest one, which was called The Final Cut, which is the one Francis Ford Coppola wants you to watch. He said, this is what I wanted from the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And it has the documentary Heart of Darkness on it. So I watched that the other day. And that's a weird movie, right? It's like straight up 70s psychedelic. You know, it's a 70s movie. Everything about it says this is a 70s movie. But yeah, you can't, and you definitely can't get all of the versions, but I want to say there was maybe a production studio. It's happened a few times.
Really? I wonder why.
So I went ahead and just bought the 4K of it, but it was the only ones I couldn't find. And I went and I bought All Quiet on the Western Front, which of course was bought by Netflix, the newest one.
Yeah.
Cause that was a Netflix purchase I think German, right? Production company that made it. So I bought that and I haven't watched it yet. So that's just waiting for me to pop in. But it's very few and far between that you can't find stuff on Kaleidoscape. Huh. When you do, I just, you know, go ahead and pick it up. But
that's interesting. So Apocalypse Now, Final Cut, I have in 4K with Dolby Atmos.
Good. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you can't get that now. I know.
I wonder why.
I think sometimes there's a couple of those where you're like, oh yeah, I used to be able to get that and you couldn't. People talk, cause I'm newer to the system. So, you know, I couldn't get it anyway. There's a few of those that are like that. So, and I know you can get a lot of them do have the director's cut on Kaleidoscape. And one movie that used to be like reference, I remember when I had a business projector and I just had a pole up in my apartment and people would talk about, you know, so this is like very, very early 2000s, like 99, 2000, well, no, like 2000 to 2003 was when I had that in focus projector.
Yeah.
And one of the movies that you would like, you had to add to your collection was The Fifth Element. So I get a chuckle every time Steve George hates that movie so much. And I have the director's cut or whatever they call it, the extended edition on Kaleidoscape. I've never seen the movie, but I know
Fifth Element.
Seen, you know, it's what's her face running around and with band-aids all over her body, you know, what's her name?
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah. So I've seen parts of her and I've seen all of her. I've seen her parts, but, and then of course Bruce Willis, but then I think it's just turned me off. Cause the aliens are so dorky looking. And then I know Chris Tucker's in it and he's this flamboyant weirdo. So eventually I'm going to watch it because that used to be like, it was reference as far as just vivid video that you had to watch that. And now that they have this special edition out and it's in 4K and I want to say it's probably just 5.1, 7.1 or is it Atmos?
Yeah, that's Atmos. Okay. It is. It's basically, it's the same as the disc. It's the latest remastered everything. Okay. And I did that. I reviewed it, and a listener back when I reviewed it had turned me on to it and said, you got to check this out or something. And I was like, all right. So I was like, you know what? I like Bruce Willis. I like this. I liked the movie. And what's funny is I've said it to Steve privately too. I'm like, buddy, I agree with you. It's like when I saw this thing in the theater, I was like, it was all right. You know, yeah. It was like I feel the same way about 12 Monkeys. I should probably revisit that Bruce Willis movie too. When I was a kid, it's a very deep movie. And I was like, I don't think I got it.
Yeah. And I'm like, dark. It's mature. And Brad Pitt, son of a gun, can act.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Brad Pitt in 12 Monkeys, just jealous. Like, he did so good in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like that movie. I don't have that movie. I think it's just an HD. Dang it.
Probably.
I don't think that, you know, that they've upgraded that movie, but
yeah,
that's definitely a good.
But yeah, so that was one that I was like, all right, I liked it, but I didn't really get the hype. All right. Mm-hmm. But then Fifth Element, I'm like, I'm not really feeling that. And I was like, whatever. And I'd seen it in my theater years ago on probably DVD. I think I have the Laserdisc. I'm like, whatever. Sure. I'm like, and then when that 4K came out and a listener told me to check it out, and it's like, all right. So I did it. I was blown away. I mean, that movie's made for 4K and object based. And I was like,
go watch it.
Oh my God. The scene at towards the end when Chris Tucker's on that stage, it's kind of like an opera situation.
Okay.
And the way your room just comes alive with the voices, and then there's a shootout and this whole thing. I mean, it's just, this movie is just so over. I mean, Chris Tucker's flamboyant. This entire movie is flamboyant. Yeah. It's just so over the top that in a fun, it's home theater way. Yeah. Right. Whereas like
it's a silly Blade Runner, you know, it's the same.
Yes.
I don't know, like dirty futuristic movie, but cartoon.
It's got, it's a, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just doesn't have to waka 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 after the joke or something. Right. But but as far as your theater goes,
okay.
I mean, you deserve to give it a watch. You might not like the subject matter. You might not like the movie, but it's like the story, you know, whatever. Leave your brain at the door, but just enjoy the sights, the sounds, and the scenes, because it's incredible.
Yeah, I can really totally do that. I've done a few of the, like, I'm trying to think of something.
Hurricane
like,
Heist.
Right. Like, I knew I wasn't really going to like it, but just the experience of it was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Some of them it's worth doing just so you can have fun in your theater and go, I love this.
And so, is funny too. It is funny. It's, right. If you can enjoy Sisu,
sure.
Then you can, you know, that's ridiculous. This is ridiculous on the other end of the spectrum, of the other end of the rainbow, quite literally, right? You're like, okay, let's go to the other end. Let's go, instead of the dark side, which is Sisu, let's go to the other end of the spectrum and have fun in our theater. And, I mean, talk about popping HDR.
Can't we get like a listener night and make Steve George watch it with us, and we're all on a Zoom call, and everyone's watching it in your theater?
Yeah. Hey.
I'd love to just experience that with him, because he said never.
I know, that's a tough call to say, but hey, to each his
I'll
own.
Watch it. Okay, I'll watch it. You've highlighted, you put a pin in that so much that I will do it, just because
I try not to, because I feel bad for Steve. I don't want to get people going. I don't want to get him going. I'm like, I get it if you don't like it, and like I said, I kind of agreed with him at first as far as the movie goes, but it's as far as home theater. I mean, I'm probably overhyping it, but at the same time, it's like it. I think it deserves the watch, whether you actually like it as much as me or not. Home theater wise,
way before HDR, way before 4K, it was one of the standards that everyone said, you have to have this movie, and that's why I got it, because I remember that from 20 years ago. You have to, and like, you know, I've seen tons of, to put it all together, I've probably seen 70% of the movie, you know, over the years just on cable. Flipping through channels. So it's always been one of those ones that you should have in your collection. So I don't think you're overhyping at all. It needs to be watched, especially because it's, I bought it. It's just sitting there waiting for you.
So. Yeah, I'm not talking you into buying it. You already did that. Yeah. You just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another one that I haven't got yet, just because it's a Pixar and those tend to be a little more expensive and they never seem to go on sale, is I heard Finding Nemo is really, really good as far as a home theater experience. And obviously it's Pixar, really? It's the color, yeah. The vibrancy, but I think even some of the audio, being that it's underwater or when they're in the fish tank, from what I hear, is really good and worth getting. I was just kind of being patient before I get it, but I don't know. I don't know if any of your listeners have.
I haven't seen that one in years. That. I haven't seen that one in years. Is that, that's 4K? Is it in 4K and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 4K okay. Atmos. Yeah, it's oh, all, wow. Yeah. Yeah, all for sure. It's in all that. So, I mean, it's got to be. I mean, it doesn't have to be because it came out long before 2012, but I think it's been remixed. I think it's been remixed in Atmos now. I mean, look it up, but
yeah,
I'm almost positive because people are like, you've got to see that. I just haven't pulled the trigger on it. So, but yeah. Okay. So Fifth Element, I'll have to add to it.
Yep. HDR, Dolby Atmos, okay. All that. Yeah. $24.99.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But I mean, one like things that are just part of some movies now are so hard to choose a scene. Cause it's like the whole thing, like Ambulance, totally goofball.
I mean,
it's totally over the top, but the whole thing is like reference Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Cool. Yeah.
From beginning to end, you know, that movie's really, really good. Super 8, that train crash scene.
That one I haven't seen in years and I own it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's JJ, you know, JJ Abrams. Yeah. And it's dark, but it's not. And it's good for the kids. And the kids like it because it has kids in it. Yeah. My kids love that one. And you think it's going to be scary, but it's really not. It's not a scary movie. But yeah, especially that train crash scene is ridiculous. And of course, Dune reference the whole way through. Oh. Like it's hard to choose a scene because it's all of it.
Dune so and the last Bond movie. Those two came out like within a month of each other. And that was just.
Oh. Yeah, No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. Yeah. I remember that was before I had my Kaleidoscape and I remember just being, I bought the discs and those things are just both those movies. I can't wait. I'm holding off on watching any Dune right now because the new movie's coming in November. So yes. I'm probably going to get all Duned up. Foundation. Have you ever watched that on Apple TV Plus?
No, but I've heard you guys talk about it.
Yeah, I love it. It's actually season 2, I believe, is coming out maybe next month. In June, I think it's supposed to come out in the spring. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's the movie that sent me over, or the show, I should say, that sent me over the edge and got me into the Lumigen.
Oh, and
that was the one.
Even though that it's streaming.
That was the problem. The problem I had was like my movies looked great because I was using the HDMI optimizer in the Panasonic, right? And the ZPD doesn't have anything like that. And what I was finding is some of my movies actually look better on the ZPD. Some look better on the Panasonic. And the movies that look better on the ZPD were movies that didn't have high contrast or anything like that. But so it sent everything coming through was fine because you got 100% all the way through to the projector.
Okay.
And the projector had no problem with it. So there was no crushing going on, no issues. With the Panasonic on a movie like the opening to the first Harry Potter movie, if I played it through the ZPD, you would get some like little crushing going on. There were those bright lights at the beginning in the dark background. The projector was having trouble tone mapping. It couldn't tone map. It doesn't do that, right? So my Sony was just like, oh, I can't do all of this at the same time. So something's got to give. Well, with the HDMI. HDR optimizer on the Panasonic, it took out everything over like say 600 nits and allowed the projector to just handle what it could, and it looks gorgeous, right? All of that, so you, that was nice. And if my now did you ever have an OPPO 203?
No, that was
okay.
before my theater experience.
There was the Oppo 203 and I think it was the 202 before that that wasn't 4K. The nice feature on that is you could use the video processing in that on everything. So you could use that to send, like I sent everything through that to my projector. Because there was
pass through that.
Yep, you could pass through that. But it didn't have, but the 4K version, the 203, it doesn't have the HDMI optimizer that the Panasonic does. HDR, sorry. Yeah, yep. Thank you. The HDR optimizer that the Panasonic does. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're running a projector, the Panasonic's actually better than the Oppo. Okay. Because of that optimization.
So you're go ahead.
So if the Panasonic had an input and a pass through that it would, you could utilize, like put your Apple TV through it.
Yeah.
I never would have got a Lumigen because I would have solved the problem like that. I would have just done that. I tried an HD Fury. I tried all of these different things and nothing could
do it fast enough.
Could take care of that crushing that I was getting in the darker scenes on streams and stuff. Uh-huh. And, you know, I wanted to clean that up and Jim kept telling me, yeah, you can do it. It's possible, but you have to do this. And he tried to help me through with the, HD Furies, and different solutions. But then he finally was like, just, you know,
suck it up,
get the Lumigen and you'll never, ever look back. And then when I did, I was like, holy crap. That's all that details in the background of that one particular scene. Like, look at that. And I go back to it all the time. And it's like, it solved all that. And so
what's the name of the series again? Oops, sorry.
Foundation.
Foundation. Yeah. You've definitely talked about it
on Apple TV. It's a lot like Dune. It's everything's based on math. It's like they can predict the future based on the math from the past. And it's like, it takes place over thousands of years.
It's almost like Minority Report-ish because they can predict some of the future.
Something like that, but even more on a much, much larger scale. Like, like generations, and it takes place over thousands of years. And there was a podcast that went along with it, Foundation. So I'd watch an episode and then that week I would listen to the podcast and get the behind the scenes. So like it was real. I just got all enthralled with it, and it's got the same type of vibe and feel as Dune. Nice. So I'm really looking forward to season two. I know from listening to the podcast and stuff during season one that they were greenlit for 3 seasons. Wow. They have info for 5. Because it's a very expansive story.
Is it a book?
Yeah, it's based on these big, it's based on these, I can't remember who the author was, but the director of the show that, like, he's the one in charge of all this. He's doing, he didn't have a great relationship with his father. But this was one book that his father's like, you should read this. So he's kind of doing this as like an homage to his dad.
Project.
Yeah. Wow. And it's like hearing that in the podcast too, is just like, you're like, oh my God. It's like, and he goes, as I aged, you know, like I started to understand what my father wanted me to learn from all this and everything. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I love the show, but I'm really looking forward to that. But then we got doing it at the end of the year.
I'll put that down also.
There you go.
Yeah. That's cool. And I had someone else that recommended that to me now that I remember. So it obviously
it's Apple TV. Yeah. It's Apple TV. So the production quality is like, you know, first rate. It's unreal.
Best you're going to get for streaming.
Yeah.
And just the money they put into their productions. Yeah, for sure. Right. Now more than the modern movies, is when you can find something that's a little bit older and it can really blow you out of the water. So two examples of this. One example, not even that surprising because I see a lot of people use it, is the beginning of Master and Commander, right?
Yeah.
It's a 7.1 mix.
Yep. Yep.
And it's just an HD, unassuming, you know, Mel Gibson. not Mel Gibson.
Russell Crowe?
Yeah, Russell Crowe, right?
Yeah, Russell Crowe, right?
Of course. Yeah. And Vision. I always forget his name. I have a mental block with his name.
Paul Bettany?
Bettany, yeah, right. So the opening of that, I mean, people are running around on the deck above you and the wood shattering. I mean, if you have a theater that can handle that, you'll be blown away if you haven't seen it. And that's an older movie. But so I've seen this movie probably 12 times. I love this movie, but I hadn't watched it in the theater yet. I'm like, okay, it's time. HD 5.1. But you know, everything's kind of upmixed with my Trinov and all of the, you know, so I know I'm going to have a good experience. Holy moly.
Yeah.
You ready for it? Book of Eli with Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
And I have it written down. Hold on. At the 1 hour, 17 minute mark to the 1 hour, 20 mark, 1 hour, 20 minute mark. So 117.
Yeah.
That's when they pull the Gatling gun up to the cannibal's house, the old couple. And that, remember the Gatling gun comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rolls out of the back of the box truck.
Steve loves a Gatling gun.
Oh my goodness. Like I will put that up because, and again, it has everything to do with the sound engineer. They designed it beautifully.
Yes.
And it spins all the way around the room. The camera spins all the way around the room. They probably, as they are filming, they're probably thinking of how they want the audio done. And sometimes that's not really thought about that heavily. But they filmed it with the intention of that Gatling gun spinning all the way around your room. It is, I don't know if there's anything better of a shootout. I'll put that up against any John Wick thing that's out there right now or anything else.
Ooh.
There's like, that's the level. So you go watch that and, you know, let us know on a podcast in the future.
Yeah.
I'll put that up against anything. I put that out when we demo stuff. I'm like, guys, bear with, because if people haven't seen that, it's a washed out movie because it's post-apocalyptic and they're like, oh, this isn't that great until, you know, well, I mean, it's a shootout, but if you're not familiar with how the movie is, you know, the tone of the movie, they're kind of like, well, this is kind of older, not that it's really that old, but it is, I keep repeating myself because it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. The audio mix, the sound engineer was legit on that movie. So, and there's some other scenes too, but that right there makes the movie insane and has to be part of everyone's demo list for sure. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I got to check that out. I got one from an older movie. I don't have the timestamp off the top of my head, but I know it was a demo scene. And just to give you an idea on how long I've been at this and how crazy my mind has been on this for that long. I love the scenes, and you guys know from back when I was doing scenes, I not just the very, you know, loud and dramatic, sure, like a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
But the scene in Braveheart when it's towards the beginning of the movie and they're
because I have that, but I haven't watched it.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't watched it on the system.
I have it too. I'll try to find the timestamp for you. The camera's panning through and everybody is like is hung.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can hear now this was back, I had it on Laserdisc playing it in a, you know, 5.1 living room. Mm-hmm. And you could hear like the twine
of the ropes swinging,
yeah, okay, of them moving and as they walk through, it was going on all around the room because the people are hanging everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, it's an absolute because it's, I mean, one, it's just a morbid scene, but then on top of it, it's not something that you're going to be like, when you demo it, you're like, all right, everybody be quiet, and then all you hear is like in the wind
and that's the Foley artists, right? The Foley artists did their job right. Then the sound mixing people did their job right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I love stuff like that. And it, yeah, to hear it now up mixed with the overheads and with everything, it's just like, oh my God, it's just, I'll have to find the stamp on that. But yeah, it's really, I love stuff like that. And like you said, it's like, it's all about those artists that are putting out, you know, from the director all the way down to the final mix, and to get these sounds just right and to be able to, for us. And I say that all the time, because we are the ones that are trying to take advantage of this stuff. Mm-hmm. We're the ones pulling it out in our homes the way it was meant to be heard.
Yeah.
Not through a soundbar, not through your television speakers, right? Where you probably can't hear it. Or if you do hear it, it's just absolutely wrong, because everything's coming. There's no nuance.
Yeah.
My favorite example is, I've watched Avengers probably a million times, and I put it on. There was a time where I put it on every night to fall asleep to. And at the very beginning of the movie, you know, the Nick Fury's landing, you know, Samuel Jackson, the helicopter lands, and he gets out of the helicopter and he's walking into the base, and you can hear in the background, you hear a note, that the alarm going off.
Sure.
And in your theater, that noise is like way off in the background. It's like, you know, but you hear it, you have to listen for it to hear it behind, you know, Fury and Coulson and, you know, and everybody, all the dialogue. It's just background sound. In my bedroom on through my sound bar, it's as equal as the dialogue, right? It's all coming through, and you're like, every night I'm going to bed and you're hearing and I know from hearing it in my theater, like, that's just a background sound. It's probably supposed to be just in the rear and the overheads or something, right? And it's like, nope, it's coming. We're giving it to you all. Here it comes.
And if you don't know any better, you don't know any better. Yeah,
there's no nuance. There's no nothing to it. So,
yeah. I watched a movie, and a lot of, like at Cedia, and this movie is used a lot, and it's more modern, and that's The Greatest Showman, which is, and I don't know if you've seen it with
Hugh Jackman
and Rebecca
Ferguson. Yeah, yeah.
So it's an incredible movie, but the opening scene is what's usually used as the demo. I mean, there's a few of them in there, but it kind of has everything. It has the bass, and it has that, the main song. But the other day I watched it for the first time all the way through.
Oh.
What a great home theater.
Yeah.
Unless you just hate musicals.
Yeah, you can't.
Unless you just hate it. But that movie is, it's a great story. Everyone has a man crush on Hugh Jackman. How can someone be that talented? You know?
Yeah. Great personality. Wolverine, talent. He's a cool, good looking.
And he sings. What the
hell? He must have like bad BO. That's got to be the only thing we don't know about him.
What the heck? But he smells. That movie is, if you've been turned off by that movie just because it's a musical, flip a switch in your brain. It's a great movie. And the home theater experience, there's no reason I hadn't watched it yet in there. It's just, my system's newer, so I hadn't gotten to it. I'm like, wow, it's so good. But today, I had someone over that loves that movie, and this is a Steve George reference.
Oh, jeez.
She's not really a movie person, but she's into musicals. She's a performer. She does musicals, you know, just like local stuff. She had only ever watched The Greatest Showman.
Oh God.
On her iPad. And she watches it all the time on her iPad. She watches it all the time on her iPad, and maybe a small TV at her house. But I took her through some demos, and she freaked out. She goes, you can hear him breathing. You can hear him walk across the floor. You can hear the echoes. You can hear, you know, the bar scene when all the people come in to console him, and he comes back and you know, I can't think of the name of the song, but just, she had never experienced a home theater, and all this, like, she never even saw it in the theater.
Right.
So she was blown away. Cause again, you just, if you don't know, you just put your earbuds in and you watch it on your iPad. And then she was like, this is an entirely different movie. I'm like, the fact that you're vibrating out of your seat on the bass is just a slight, you know, factor of a movie like that. But yeah, so just because that happened just today, I'd bring that up. If they don't know, they don't know.
Another good musical that is older and one of my favorites. I had a post. I got the poster on the wall from when I built this theater. Moulin Rouge.
Now I haven't even seen that movie, but my wife loves it.
Yeah, try that one out with the Trinov. Okay, that's a good time. The colors. It's not in HDR. It's not 4K HDR. But
Obi-Wan Kenobi though.
Oh yeah. And I mean,
and he sings in it, right? Ewan McGregor.
It's, I mean, my wife and I watched that a few months ago, and it's like for days I was like singing the songs that he sings, and I can't sing, and it's like it's embarrassing, but it's just, it's so good. And it's because a lot of the dialogue is based off of modern music. Like there'll be Foo Fighters, there'll be Beatles, there'll be this and that. And it's Yeah, it's very creatively done. It's very colorful, obviously. Okay.
And it's Nicole Kidman, right?
Yeah, Nicole Kidman. Ewan McGregor. There's a few. What's his name?
That's the only two that I.
You'll recognize some other people in it.
Sure. I'm sure.
But it doesn't rise to the level of Greatest Showman just because it's older, but. Uh-huh. I think with your processing power and with the Trinov, you're really going to enjoy that experience because it is really, I think it should get a 4K upgrade because it's that colorful. It's that fun of a home theater movie that, I mean, they're upgrading far lesser films, you know?
Well, and I'm sure we all have our list ready for you know, half a dozen James Cameron films and where is this? And I saw The Last Starfighter. It's going to 4K, but is it going to 4K Tuesday. On Kaleidoscape? I don't know how long I'll wait before I get the 4K version because I grew up with that. I know I'm a few years younger than you, but it was about a kid that got to go into space from a video game and be a hero, you know? So I will probably end up buying that disc.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how long it will take to come to Kscape.
I know. Sometimes it comes out same day as the disc. Other times it's like usually the day after I bought the disc.
They check and make sure if you've done a podcast and announced it.
Did DJ already buy
the disc? Okay, we can release it.
Yeah, there's going to be a DJ buy this owners group. Right. Like, hurry up, DJ, buy this so we can all get it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So there's definitely a list of things like, son of a gun, I can't believe this isn't on, you know, there's not an HDR or a 4K version of it. So yeah, but I'm glad Last Starfighter's coming out and,
but see how it plays, but
sure. Yeah. If they respected it enough to do a good job with it, hopefully they did.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes they work with the director and sometimes it's just a third party, production company that
boutique
that just that wants to do it. And I'm not sure if that's
what studio
shout fast. Okay. Then there's more. Okay.
We had it on the show. I forget who's doing it. I don't have the notes.
Shout Factory is one of those third parties.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And then is there one that's Arrow?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's the actual studio. And when it's a studio, you're going to be pretty confident that
typically it ends up in our hands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eventually. So,
but I'm glad they did it either way. Someone likes it enough that it's coming around.
Yep. And
my wife and I like that, but she likes Moulin Rouge. So that'll be something good to add to the system that, you know, I'm thinking about her and she was gracious enough to allow me to do this. I've got to keep her happy in the theater. So
there you go.
Have you seen, and I don't know if they've all come out at once or it's just the algorithms that I'm seeing them all at once on YouTube, but Wes Anderson, Star Wars and Wes Anderson, Harry Potter and, they're just they're fake, right? They're not really coming out with a movie. If you like Wes Anderson at all, he's got his own style for sure, but it's just so creative. Like that's exactly who they'd have in it. And that's exactly what it would look like. And now he's making that new movie Asteroid City, but maybe that's why they're all coming out right now is to kind of hype his new movie. So I didn't look to see when all these YouTube videos actually came out, but I just thought that was so cool, you know, just funny.
Yeah.
Just especially the Star Wars one, but it's hilarious. So, you know, DJ, I would say that this flew by, but let me tell you something. This has been painful and long, and it seems like this has taken 10 hours. And I just want to get out of here.
I just... well, it's only been 2 weeks.
No one ever says that.
I know.
Be the first to do
something. Be the first to say, like, I'm miserable. Can you let me out of this?
Can you push the stop button?
Yeah, can we just push stop? Stop, end this? No. That's funny. That's great. That's great. That's what you got to do. People got to stop pushing my buttons.
Hey, I want to congratulate you guys for being pretty disciplined at trying to stick to 2 hours.
We're trying.
In the last few...
Well, we have to. We have to because...
The
schedule. Difference. Between the three of us. So we have Steve running at... you know, he's 5 hours ahead of me.
Yeah.
So he's starting at 7 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sorry, 10 o'clock at night.
Oof.
I'm starting at 5 and John's starting at 4. But the problem is now we found these 2 hours right between when John can get home, guaranteed get home from work, and midnight for Steve so he can get to bed. And if he has to work the next day, we can still have a show.
Yeah.
But
you've done good. I think
it's working.
Able to do it.
Like, yeah. Well, what we did is, I mean, it helped to move the show, swap the show around, right? So we could put all of our energies into the home theater stuff, into our home theater experiences.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we'll get to everybody's listener experience, but if we don't get to it, we just move it to the next week. So it takes all the pressure off us. If we miss tweak of the week or something like that, I mean, we just move the show. You know, I think it is working. Yeah. Thank you for noticing. It's like, we would love to be able to go 3 hours every week and talk as much as we want. It's just harder with the schedules. It's harder to do with the three of us, but at least now we know it is more relaxing sitting down. We're actually getting a few minutes before each show to hang out together. Mm-hmm. Whereas it got very hectic where it was like people, you know, John coming in late and then I'm coming in. It's tight for me coming home. Yeah. So it really is, you know, I mean, it's a lot more fun now, not more fun, I should say, but, we've made it work. Yeah. And less pressure and,
good.
You know, people seem to like it. It's like, we're getting to our experiences, but
yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. So
awesome.
Any other questions,
nope.
comments, anything we,
nope. I want to, When you guys are ready and you've edited all your HT tours, you know, put me on the list so we can get on video and we'll do some fun stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So whenever you want to do that, it's good. But thank you for having me again. And I'm looking forward to your telethon. I don't know what you're calling it.
Yeah, the 24 hours.
So if you end up doing that, I think you are, right?
Eventually. Not an if, it's a when, and Todd just texted me a couple of days ago. He goes, "Oh, I haven't forgot about it," but he's busy, and it's like I said, it's like there's a lot
endeavor.
Of organization.
Doing it's
the easy part, right? It's like me sitting down to do it is easy. It's just that's organizing planning. It ahead of time. Yeah, we want to do it right. So,
well, I'll take a slot when you're. If you have an open slot, I'll take
I got slot out 24 of them.
Cool.
So at least, right? If everybody does an hour.
Yeah.
So we'll figure out how we're going to organize
it. That takes planning. So
I think it'll be a blast. I think it'll be a blast.
For sure. No doubt. All right, Deej. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you all your listeners. And I'm glad I got a third.
Thank you for your persistence, John.
Whoo, it was painful, but
don't sweat it. It'll
seem like one episode.
Oh, it will be one episode, but it's
the
like
magic of editing.
But I know you felt bad, but I really wanted to put this out the way it is and the way so that people know, like, cause it will happen to other people, and don't sweat it. That's what happens. It's all fun. We're here for fun. We deal with it. You know, it's bright side. Let's have fun with it and, you know, roll with it. And nobody's, you know, losing an arm or a leg over this. We're just having fun.
Totally. Yeah.
So,
well, thank you very much, everyone. Like, subscribe, get that thumbs up button.
Yeah, thumbs up button, 5 stars, rate, review, subscribe. I don't know. What are the kids doing these days, you know? Yeah,
all of it.
But most important, go push play. There you go.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.